Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open-air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But really, to the found sheep of the House of Israel, to whom the remnant, to whom this message is really aimed, greetings. This is episode number 62 of the Movement Turd, and I'm going to entitle it The Real Willie Martin, as I knew him. Now, I've interviewed, of course, Russ Walker, who really didn't know him at all. And this is in reaction to Elier James, who had John Knight, who did know Willie Martin as well. And the purpose of this particular segment is to explain what Willie Martin was, as I knew him, warts and all. And Willie Martin was the meekest, nicest, humblest man in Christian identity. He wasn't the equal of Bertrand Comparet. Bertrand Comparet he probably was the best teacher of all, better than Wesley Swift, who was the best speaker of all, but Bertrand Comparet was actually the best teacher of all, and he could write in about 2,000 words essentially what Christian identity, especially dual seed line Christian identity, was about. And what Willie Martin did in many ways was expand on Bertrand Comparet, and Willie Martin was quite a scholar. He would expand on Bertrand Comparet to about 20,000 or 30,000, and he would write entire books about aspects that Bertrand Comparet would cover in about a 2,000-word essay. Now, did I prefer Bertrand Comparet? And the answer is yes. I believe that Christian identity, especially dual seed line Christian identity, is rather simple. It's really easy to understand, and you have to understand it's a racial religion of the white, Aryan, Israelite man. But on the other hand, what Willie Martin wrote did expand quite a bit on what Bertrand Comparet wrote. And unlike Clifton Emmaheiser, who ended up hating Bertrand Comparet because Bertrand Comparet could not be equaled, could not be matched. And Emmaheiser isn't able to match him at all. And as a result, Emmaheiser has been working to undermine Comparet. Willie Martin's following of the dual seed line Christian identity orthodoxy was never in question. Now, Willie would have a few little pet heresies, which might or might not be true. Didn't really matter, and Willie had the decency to admit that these were his notions in many cases. He didn't pass it out as holy writ. The other thing that I like about Willie Martin is he didn't bring any dirty Jews like William Fink, the Jersey City Jew boy, Ashkenazi Jew boy, and when he would be prompted, he wouldn't have let any Sephardic Jew mamzers like Eli James or Joseph Kotz or Joseph Stalin November, whatever the hell he calls himself. Willie Martin was a white man, and in many cases he would be a little bit wishy-washy, but when stiffened up by someone like myself, who wouldn't allow these creatures in, he would go, he would essentially go along with what needed to be done. So I really liked Willie Martin. I didn't always admire Willie Martin because Willie Martin, in some cases, was too meek and too tame and too polite to vicious Mamzers and Jews who tried to sneak into Christian identity. He would not see a Jew. In many cases, he would not see a Jew. He would not see a Mamzer sneaking in a long ways. But Willie Martin did allow someone like me to go ahead and do the dirty work of cutting these people out and marking and branding them. And when the time came, it was pretty well shown that they were exactly what I said they were, he would, of course, chime in. So, I want to do this episode on Willie Martin as he really was, warts and all. This is after Oliver Cromwell, who asked for someone to paint him like he was, warts and all. I really liked and loved Willie Martin. He was a lovable man. I'm not a lovable man, so I can appreciate Willie Martin. And we're going to go ahead and have the chat. And I might or might not have a... I'll probably end up having an ending introduction. But first, what we're going to do is... The first music break will be Bigger Problem, which is the theme song for the show. So hold on. Hail Victory. And listen to the music section. And then next will be Russ Walker. Hail Victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers will never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good dog used to be. Being caught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open-air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon the Third and the Final. But my message is directed to the found sheep of the House of Israel. Ye who have, you chosen seed of Israel's race, you did hear the call. Know him who saves you by his grace, and hail him, Lord of all. I love that song. Starting out when I was in Herbert Armstrong's church at the age of 10 or 11. I've always loved music, and that was one of the few hymns other than Dwight Armstrong's contribution. Dwight Armstrong was very good at writing hymns. But, folks, what I really loved what I really loved was, you know, what I really loved, and you just, I just, I mean, Northwest, I've sort of had an idea that what I'll do is probably on my shows, sing a few hymns. Especially one of my favorite was, "Oh Hail Him, Lord of All." And the person who wrote that wasn't Christian Identity, but he understood in his bones who we are, the chosen seed of Israel's race. Now, this is Movement Turd number 62, and like everything else, I don't know exactly what to go ahead and call it. It's the live portion. It's the live portion of the 20th of March 2011. It's around 8:20 or so, and I'm speaking, of course, into the MP3 player, using it as a tape recorder, because, well, just like Watcher found out, the TeamSpeak thing has a tendency to drop out, whereas the MP3 player, it's rock solid. It is rock solid. But what I'm going to do in the first point is Elijah James had John Knight, an Irishman, and sometimes John is an Irishman. You know, John Knight is always an Israelite. I've seen him on his video. John Knight has a honesty and a sweetness of temper. He's sort of anti-uppity female as a result of some of them trying to take all he got in California. But John Knight's been a businessman. He knows something about the internet trade. First time I met John Knight was in 2000 or so, when, me and Willie Martin were invited by this guy called Cygnus1 at Hotmail.com. He'd opened up a new Yahoo group called Holy Wars, and in the summer of 1999, he wanted me and Willie Martin to join. Certainly me. Now, for those who don't know what was going on, is that I used to be a militia leader of two militias that I helped found. A larger one in Springfield, the 24th Missouri Militia, and another one based around Jasper County, around Carthage. But with portions in Newton County and portions up in Barton County, you know, Vernon County and Barton County. And that was sort of north of me. And then the other one was east of me. And in about every single case, the militias that I met and knew in 1994, when we first founded them, were militias which were run either by a Klansman or a Christian Identity believer, or in most cases, in the case of the modern Klan, both. The Klan, back in the 60s, used to be a bunch of Baptists or Pentecostal lint heads, and over the years, the majority of the Klans have become Christian Identity. A mixture of one seed line and dual seed line. And that's one thing I wish to do, is simply upgrade the single seed line up to dual seed line. Now, folks, I was raised in Herbert Armstrong's church, and I pretty well got a very good religious education in basic British Israelitism. And this morning I was on Elier's, essentially just typing in a number of things that John Knight had wrong, that Eli James had wrong, what the actual British Israelite people believe, the Armstrong people believe. Now, since they're seedliners and they're British Israelite, they believe that Adam and Eve were literally the very first people. Not just the very first white people, but the very first people. And they believed that Eve had a number of eggs, and that some of them came out yellow, and so... Okay, well, looks like Russ is here.
It is Russ. Have you speak to Martin?
You're already speaking to him. Essentially, I was going in on a rant about, how I learned about one seed lining from, you know, sitting my butt from the ages of 10 to about the ages of 20 on a steel folding chair in a rented hall in Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God. Herbert Armstrong didn't believe in spending any money in building local churches. No, what he would do is he would rent a hall. It used to be that the Joplin Carthage Church used to rent this old honky-tonk, and then they moved to Memorial Hall, and then they found, I think, last time, when my brother Monty died, they were in the IOOF building, and the Springfield Church used to be in the Grand Masonic Hall on special days and another place on other days. And I got a very good grounding in the basics of single seed line Christian identity. Northwest says that renting is better for a church. Well, the thing about it is Herbert wanted all, and by the way, Wigger Problem, please go ahead and record. Go ahead and record. I got Russ on the phone. And renting is always better. Well, it was better for Herbert, because that meant that there was no money for upkeep, there was no need to mess with any real estate other than in Pasadena, and in Big Sandy, and in Brickett Woods, and essentially the Jews that Herbert gave it to, named Tkach, pretty well stole everything red hot or nailed down. But you still now have remnants of Herbert's church. You have a very big remnant. As big a remnant as when I used to live, you know, be in it, of about 125 people. And one of the old guys who used to go there invited me to go, and I said no, because most of the people I knew at that time, they've died. They'd be in their 80s or 90s if they were still alive. And generally, I'm dual seed line now. And second of all, I don't really wish to know who these people are, because I don't wish to bring any attention down on them. So the guy invited me, and essentially I said, well, I'd think about it, which means, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, essentially, as I look at it, you not only have to be white, Jesus Christ has to call you and decide to quicken your spirit of man, you know, what you're born with as an Israelite, which is part of your birthright, the possibility of maturing, you know, just like a sperm cell, you know, when it's mixed with an egg, maturing to go ahead and be a full-fledged son of God, to put on immortal life. Now, it really did me a good deal of benefit, because here you have all these people who want to be, who pretend to be, who essentially are a bunch of little Wigger punks and a bunch of little Mamsers, and Finkelstein, you know, the Jersey City Jew boy. He has no conception of, you know, single seed line or dual seed line, and neither does Eli James. And I was noticing that as well. And what happens, Willie Martin knew a good deal about it, although he was dual seed line. So I advise you, this segment in many cases will cover the real Willie Martin, not what John Knight was trying to explain to Eli or James, who didn't really understand Willie Martin at all. You didn't really know, is Eli or Cutts? What happens is that Eli James's original name, from what I gather, was Joseph Cutts, and they changed it to Joseph, I call it Joseph Stalin November, and then he changed to Eli James. So he's the, I mean, Eliar is a good Sephardic Chicago Jew. He changes his name, you know, often and all the time. But he's far more dangerous than what the Fink is. I don't know if you've been listening, but Fink pretty well alienates everybody. That's why he's got to go ahead and get back his talk show count, looking for fresh meat. But you didn't really know Willie Martin, did you?
I never. Are we on the air right now? We were.
I'm recording you on MP3.
Okay. I've only heard you and several other people mention the person's name. I know absolutely nothing about him.
Well, I'll go ahead and talk about Willie Martin. Now, Willie Martin had his faults. The good side was that Willie Martin was the sweetest, humblest, kindest man in dual seed line Christian identity. The down part of Willie Martin is that being the kindest, humblest, meekest, nicest man in dual seed line Christian identity, I had to tell him, you know, I said, look, Willie, it's a good thing you were born a male, because if you were born a female, you'd be knocked up all the time because you just can't tell these people no. Well, Niemela. Niemela is another Finnish Jew. Richard Niemela is another Finnish Jew who snuck out of Herbert Armstrong's church, and he hangs around the dual seedliners. And he used to hang around. I knew Willie Martin before. I knew Willie Martin since really 1996. And back then I was still a single seedliner, but I was about to turn, you know, change into a dual seedliner. Because, well, the main thing was reading a book about the Great Flood and how one of Howard Hughes' ships that was searching for oil. I mean, Howard Hughes' ships not only went ahead and spied on Russians and everybody else, they also did some oil exploration. They were doing some oil exploration in the Mediterranean, pretty well off the coast of Libya, and they found out that they had what was called a bunch of glassines. And what glassines are or were was essentially sand, which for some reason has fused into glass, even at a low melting point, you know, to turn what, silica into glass.
Well, how the hell does that happen?
Well, it does happen, and what it means is that you have a rather hot temperature. You have these glassines which occur at the, you know, in Death Valley in the United States. You have them occur on the banks of the Dead Sea.
You mean like petrified wood or something?
No. Glassines. What they are?
I don't know anything about this. I've never heard of this before.
Okay. Well, this book was explaining it, and what it indicated is that the Mediterranean used to be a deep valley, just like happens with Death Valley, and just like happens with the Dead Sea. In the case of the Dead Sea, the Jordan flows into it, but there's no place for it to go out. So what it does is it evaporates and it gets saltier and saltier and saltier and saltier as time goes on.
Sure.
Because it's a rather hot, hot, hot place, just like Death Valley.
Right.
Okay. They went ahead and indicated that, according to that book, it indicated that the Mediterranean used to be a deep valley in which a number of rivers flowed, a huge, you know, one that made Death Valley, and made, you know, Death Valley still, you know, I think it's what, about maybe, I don't know how big it is, but it's a couple miles across, a couple miles wide here, I think about 20 or 50 or something like that. The Mediterranean, though, was a huge one, which made the Dead Sea and the rest of them look like pikers, because you'd end up having the Nile, you'd have a number of them flow out. Well, what they believed, according to what they've seen, was that there was indeed a great flood that occurred 12,000 to 7,000 years ago, and it used to be a deep place, just like Death Valley. And what it did is that, you know, because it has to be a huge, you're taking the outflow of the Nile, you're taking the outflow of a number of rivers of Europe, and North Africa. And North Africa used to be a lot wetter than what it was. In fact, I was looking on Hitler Channel. Now, I don't believe everything the Hitler Channel says, but usually I don't believe most of anything that the Hitler Channel says, especially about Nazis and about, you know. It's called the History Channel, but Jim Floyd called it the Hitler Channel because it's all Hitler, all the time, getting his ass whooped by Jews. And what an idiot, what a homosexual, what an idiot, what a goofball Hitler was.
Call the Hitler Channel, or are you just joking?
Well, it's the History Channel, but, you know, Jim Floyd calls it the Hitler Channel. And pretty well that's what a lot of people in the movement call it, the Hitler Channel. You know what I mean? So, anyway, while I was in Nuthouse, I found out that the old kingdom of Egypt was a good deal wetter than it became during the Middle Kingdom. And what they did is that they dug a big lake, and they dug a number of lake beds and reservoirs to have water because they had a big famine between the Old Kingdom and the Middle Kingdom of Egypt. North Africa used to be a good deal wetter than what it is today. They used to pick up lions and elephants and savannah dwellers. Now it's a good deal drier than what it was. Well, to cut to the chase, sometime this book said that somewhere, you know, either 7,000 or 12,000 to 7,000 years ago, this 3.5 mile strait where you have Gibraltar on one end, I think it's called Dar es Salaam or some other mountain on the other side, but don't have a port to it, that this range of mountains collapsed and the Atlantic flowed into the Mediterranean all the way up to the Black Sea, and it was a tidal wave such as made what happened in Japan look like a piker. And it was such a horrific event that people were talking about the flood ever since. And after that, I decided that yes, there was just a local flood, not a worldwide flood. And I embraced dual seed line Christian identity. Now, does this make sense to you, Russ?
I'm a little confused, but that's okay. You're talking primarily about the Mediterranean, which is separate from Noah's flood, which is a different part of the world in Asia, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yes. What happens? You believe the dual seed line. You believe, of course, the dual seed line belief. A lot of your beliefs, like Ephraim Scepter, though, arise from, I believe, Herbert Armstrong's church. You have these particular Jews, like Yair Davidi and Richard Niemöller. And Willie was such a nice guy. You had Yair Davidi, and his father is a Gentile, and his mother is a full-fledged kike. And he's an Australian Jew rabbi who was just totally vicious. And he lives in Israel now.
Who's this?
Yair Davidi. Yair Davidi.
Don't know anything about him.
Well, he showed up. He showed up peddling Ephraim and Judah will someday work together here, and they will bury the hatchet. And essentially, he, Herbert Armstrong, the one seed liners, they believe that Jews are descended from Judah, which is what you believe as well, right? Right, Russ?
They're mixed. I believe that the Jews and Judah are the same thing, because they've all been mixed. And that
okay.
Judah was always a race mixing character, and that's just a long story.
Well, he was a race. He was in many ways. He liked that Canaanite pussy, just like Esau. And Willie Martin had what I called the Willie Martin heresy. Willie Martin's favorite one is not just Satan, which goes ahead and, you know, has sex with Eve and she gives birth to Cain, the first Jew. No, what happens is Satan disguises himself as a nigger, as a Che, and he waves his black snake in front of Eve, and Eve says, "Oh, what a peach!" And the round heel slut fell on her back.
This is fiction.
No, this is what this is. This, okay, this is the Willie Martin heresy. You know what I mean? And Willie Martin believed, let me see. Oh, by the way, in the chat they're talking about little Swordmanzer. Swordmanzer didn't do the show tonight. Because Matt says he has a little cold. Well, I don't see how you'd be able to tell. He has a nasal voice anyway. A nasal Zimmer voice. Okay. We're talking British Israelite, you know, Israelite crap, folks. And folks, I had to sit on a hard chair for 9 years every Saturday and on holy days, two sermons, and on the high holy days, like Day of Atonement and the first and the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, three sermons. So folks, I got, whether I liked it or not, I got a very, very, very good grounding, in Armstrongism and British Israelitism. And yes, a lot of it's crap. But getting on with Willie Martin believed that Satan didn't disguise himself as a white man and have sexual Eve. No, he disguised himself as a nigger. And what happens is that she gave birth to Cain, and like they point out, is that even the blondest blue-eyed Jew has 5 to 15% Negro marker genes. So I tell this to Jews, I tell this to niggers, and they both get pissed off at the Willie Martin heresy for some reason, because niggers don't like thinking of themselves as being part Jew, and Jews certainly don't like them to think of themselves as part nigger, even though they are. So I don't myself believe the Willie Martin heresy, but I loved when I was in jail or in the nut house explained to both Jews and niggers. The Jews said, "Well, I have a black girlfriend, I have black children." I said, "Well, no, you're just trying to get back to your roots." There was this jailer named Lieutenant During who told me that. And essentially I just rubbed it in with the Willie Martin heresy. So I like Willie Martin too. Now Willie believed some of this crap, and he was about to bite on this Yair Davidy crap about how he is part of Judah, and all they want is a reconciliation with Ephraim, with the house of Ephraim, or the houses of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, which is British Israelite Herbert Armstrong crap. And I said, "You lying fucking kike, who the hell do you think you're kidding? You're just a Khazar, Hittite, Canaanite kike." Oh, then what happens is that Willie figured out that he was sort of screwing up by even listening to this, so then he started calling Yair Davidy a dirty lying kike too. You know what I mean? But I sort of stiffened old Willie's spine a little bit on that regard. But what Willie would do is that he would, he wrote books. He wrote entire books, and they were, they were not really original books, but they expounded Bertrand Comparé quite a bit. And Emma Heiser and Willie Martin, in many cases, did not get along very well. Emma Heiser claimed that Willie Martin was a plagiarist of his. And I read an exchange where Willie Martin was halfway believing Emma Heiser's crap about how Yahweh didn't create the niggers and the beasts of the field on the on the sixth day, and Willie Martin wasn't altogether buying it, but Willie being a nice person was sort of going along with it a little bit. And this was way back in 1998-1999 that I went ahead and seen it, because he died in 2003. I think he died in November, or it was that Garner Stud Armstrong who croaked off in November 2003. But I really knew Willie, and Willie would on occasion invite me to essentially be the hatchet man. I mean, I was a very good hatchet man, and essentially people go ahead and they invite me to essentially act like the enforcer or the jungle or the jungle gym, and then I go ahead and do it, and then they get all uncomfortable because, "Well, he ain't housebroken, he's not very nice," and you end up having a number of problems like that. So Any case, you have McGang. I don't know who McGang is, but see, I did know Willie. You didn't really know Willie very much. I think you were on the show earlier today, weren't you, on Eliers?
I wasn't on the show. I mean, I may have made a couple comments in the chat room, but I wasn't speaking or anything like that.
No, but you were there earlier, right?
Oh, one of the comments that John made was ridiculous. He talked about Adamites in Genesis 1:27, and I said, how the hell can it be Adamites in Genesis 1:27 when Adam wasn't even created until Genesis 2, verse 8? Nobody had any comment to that.
Well, you see, John has a number of notions, and you cannot get him. I mean, it's just, you know, getting a notion, once he gets it in his head, is like, you know, driving Patty's, you know. John Knight is he's an Irishman. He's a blockheaded Danite. He's not an Ulsterman. He's a blockheaded Danite. But he's a real nice guy. He's a white man. And he's a real decent fellow. But once he gets a little idea in his head, it's like driving a pig out of a wallow. You're not going to get it done. You're not going to get it. It's sort of like, you know, my little grandson. I mean, once he got a little notion in his head, you know, he's just like his father. You could not, you couldn't drive that notion out,
okay,
even with a pallet slat with a screw in it.
I just made the comment, and nobody else commented back to my comment.
Oh, I see it, but you see, I was guest number 3. By that time, I'd already been blocked by Eliar.
Oh, I can see why.
Yeah, I was having my fun with Jurel and the rest, and I found out that Jurel claims to have recent ownership of IsraelElect.com. And IsraelElect.com originally started out in the mid to late 90s, 96, 97, 98. It used to be one heck of a webpage, but it was founded by a bunch of dual seedliners who didn't agree with Butler bringing in all the criminal element, you know, and playing Aryan Nations. They didn't like that at all. So you had people like James Delavue, and you had about a number of 4 or 5 others break off. And from what I gather, old Seth Griffin from Arkansas, who was playing at Christian Identity, somehow got a hold of the website. And according to Jurel, he sold it to Jurel. And what you're going to see is, just like with Finkelstein, he is going to take over, like a Jew, as much of the original Christian Identity content, be it one seed line or dual seed line, and try to claim that it's his as possible. That's what he's going to do. So, Israel Elect is good, but they do put anything up. I used to like it when it used to be Melvig and Gold, God's Order Affirmed in Love. And they had a number of Lothrop Stoddard and Masson Grant HTML files, you know, Passing of the Great Race, and yeah, Sheldon Emery, and well, they still do, but I do not like the fact that essentially Jurel Mosley has got a hold of it. Jurel is a twisted evil. I think he's a faggot. I think him and Brian.
Yeah, some problems.
Huh?
From what I understand, he's crippled with polio. He is about 70, 71 years old, approximately.
Yeah, he's evil. He's sort of like a twisted, demented little Danny DeVito is what he's like. I've seen his picture on Facebook.
I've never seen his picture. I don't think about it.
Oh, I see his picture. I've seen Maui Patricia. Maui Patricia don't look that bad, but I mean, you end up having that and Eighth Day Woman.
Real name? I'm weird with Mallory Patricia. Is that a real name? I thought her name was Patricia Aiken or something like that.
Yeah, her real name is Patricia Aiken. I think she lived in Hawaii. And what she is that she's one of these psychiatric nurses that work at the nut house. And essentially, she wants to dope everybody up. Now, thankfully, she wants to go ahead and dope up Finkelsheeny. I don't know if you remember, on January 24th or so, she said that old Finkelsheeny was suffering from mental illness and he ought to get medications. Well, guest number 3 or guest number 24 pretty well said, well, hey, Mary Patricia, why don't you just go ahead and score you some of that real good psycho dope here, and both you and Bill take it. And she was calling for a liar. Bad number 3, bad number 24. Thank you, thank you. And essentially, these people. I went ahead and stayed. I did send you a file of the chat, didn't I?
Yes.
Yes, and what you have is you have like, you know, what you have what? You have all these characters who are part Jew, who are part Mamzer, who are skinhead, you know, Anglo-Mestizos, and what they do is they migrate from Bill Finks to Eliers. I mean, Friday night they're over at Finkelstein's, Saturday they're over at Eliers, and you have Jurel doing the same thing. And I did get in as guest number 3 before I revealed myself as Winstead. I did get in. I said, well, why in the world is Emma Heiser's material stopped in 2009? And, oh, well, we're going to go ahead and put it back up. We're going to go ahead and put it up here now. Well, from my garage.
Well, he's been kind of quiet the last couple months. I haven't heard anything out of him.
Who, Jarrell? No, Jarrell is going between Finkelstein and Eli James. And if you listen to today's show, Brian called him yesterday.
Called whom?
Eli James.
Called him on the phone or personally?
Yeah, called him on the phone. I don't think he went ahead. I don't think he went from Mentor to Chicago for a blowjob, do you? No, I think he, I think that, well, I call old Cliff, I call him Captain Senility. But, essentially, Emma Heiser has always hated Bertrand Comparé. And I think the main reason he hates Bertrand Comparé is that Comparé was by far the biggest scholar of dual seed line Christian identity, and Emma Heiser can't even remotely match him. I know better than even try.
It's probably true.
Yeah. No better than even, you know, than even try.
One thing I'll say about Emma Heiser, he has always been a very open person. I mean, I met him once about 15 years ago. He has always had his home address and his phone number listed and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, because I think he is a white man. So I gotta wonder, because I have paid attention in that, you know, see this thing with Willie Martin. See, Willie Martin was a dual seed line Christian identity believer, and what Willie Martin would do is he would write entire books expanding on Bertrand Comparé. And in 1998, he was facing either legal troubles or medical troubles, and he sent me his entire stuff. He also sent to John Knight, and that's why it's over on Israel Elect. So folks, I would urge you, if Jurel Mosley has control of Israel Elect, download everything you possibly can as quick as possible, because Jurel is a dangerous, evil, homosexual little kike mamzer who's going to ask the mouth of Brian Rio, and essentially he's, you know, this stuff may disappear. That's why I'm very much annoyed to hear that Israel Elect is going down the tubes, because, you know, we got a hold of Seth Griffin. And Seth Griffin is just another one of these Jonathan William types who wanted to play Christian identity, wanted to play as a skinhead, wanted to play Aryan Nations. And what they did is that once they get either older or they get scared or they get in trouble, what they do is they drop dual seed line Christian identity. See, these people, when I talk to them, you know, if you've seen on the chat, I told them, you know, shoot, you people are not fooling anybody. You might be fooling yourself, but you're not fooling me. I've seen your kind on the internet ever since 1995. And they show up, they play at being something, and then a year or two later, you never hear of them again. They drop out. They go to prison. They do whatever. They go ahead just like this, or they figure out they've been outed as mamzers. They disappear. But Willie was a real sweet man. And he did write. I mean, Willie's material was usually good. Now, Willie's material was usually not very original at all. But Willie's his main original material was the was Satan disguised himself as a nigger, you know, and had sex with Eve. You know, gave birth to Cain. He was part nigger kike. You know, that was his original. That was his original, and that's why everybody calls me Willie Martin Heresy. And people used to laugh. They thought it was hilarious. And I thought it was hilarious too. But Willie really was not an original. Well, he was, but what he did is he expanded on Bertrand Comparé and, to a lesser extent, Wesley Swift. He was, I mean, where Bertrand Comparé would say it in, about 2,000 words, Willie would explain it in 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 words. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like, you know, reading Comparé is just like reading Cliff's notes. I mean, Comparé covers it very thoroughly, but if you really want to go ahead and get some other stuff, you go ahead and look with Willie Martin, because that was Willie Martin's pride and joy. Willie Martin was a very good scholar. He was, in many ways, a very good writer, because essentially he would expand on what Bertrand Comparé wrote.
Who were his contemporaries? Who did he associate with?
He associated with me, although I really wasn't a scholar. What happens is that I used to run militias. I used to hang out with Lewis Beam and Cassia Lane. And, I was more of an editor. I used to pretty well write a militia journal. I used to run for governor and United States Senator. I mean, I was a politician, more like, you know, I'm a politician and soldier, and an editor and a publisher. What happens that Willie was a self-publisher, and Willie had a real, really knew word perfect. That was what, I mean, Willie, in many ways, word perfect was more advanced than Microsoft Word when it first came out. Now, they got sold to Corel, I don't know what happened to word perfect. But the thing about word perfect is that you could, it was sort of like having a PDF Adobe. What happens is that it would look the same regardless of the printer. The pagination and the words on the pages would stay the same. And WordPerfect was the original big killer app as far as word processing. Better than Word for Windows.
Right.
And I've had lawyers. WordPerfect used to be the legal industry's defamation word processor, but they got sold to some Mormons, and then they got sold to Novell, or was part of Novell or something. And then they got sold to Corel Draw, and then from Corel, I don't know what the heck happened to them. And Word Perfect was the standard, and the reason I looked at it was the standard, because I used Word 6 was the best word processor. But
whatever happened to it? Why did the Word Perfect disappear? I remember years ago.
Well, it disappeared because it got sold, and Microsoft went ahead and did perfect Word, and pretty well shoved Word to the side. You got to understand, when people buy computers, these corporate people buy licenses or something like that. Like my sister, she was working as secretary for the cheesemakers up at Schreiber Foods up in Carthage. And they had the latest WordPerfect, they had the latest Word, they had the latest Corel Draw, a $595 program. They had all this expensive software, and guess what? Usually the secretaries only knew how to use the basics of it. They could have used a shareware program a lot cheaper. But no, they had to go ahead and get all the expensive stuff. And as far as the big boss, who, he didn't know how to use Corel Draw, he didn't know how to use WordPerfect, he didn't know how to use Word. So that's just the way things are done in corporate America. But what happened with WordPerfect is that it got sold, you know, it got sold and sold and sold and sold. And eventually, you know, from what I gather, the United States court system, the United States District Court System insists that if you're going to come up with a brief that you submit a floppy, and I think now it's a CD-ROM, in Word format, not WordPerfect. And what they do is if you file a lawsuit or something like that, what they do is they have a little scanner. And they scan that thing in, and it becomes part of a PDF file. Now they do electronic filing. I know because Friday I got three letters from the United States District Court, and my lawsuit against Obongo, the head of the Western District of Missouri, has pretty well pressured the Jew judge, Howard K. Sachs, to recuse himself, and now I got a Whigger, judge.
But how did that ever happen? That's unusual.
No. What happens is that essentially the head of the thing here kicked old Howard K. Sachs off and says, well, guess what? I mean, it don't look very good for a Jew to be judging, you know, where the lead plaintiff is the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri. So what they did is that they, you know, they just simply went ahead and kicked the Jew judge off. So that's why I've got to go ahead and write. I've got to go ahead and write the lawsuit against Brian Rio. I thought this morning the little bastard had me kicked, you know, had me kicked off a space mirror. But it was actually Toshiba number one having a little hiccup. It runs a little bit hot. It shut down, and I wasn't able to go ahead and get to it. So, but no, you know, getting on to it, he went ahead and told that Jew judge. Now, what I'm going to do is essentially say, hey, look. This should be an open lawsuit. You shouldn't be able to hide it under court seal, and you shouldn't be able to hide it. You need to go ahead and force all these people to show up. And once you know, once these people knew that you know there was a new judge on the case, the Missouri Republican Party just sent me a big brief about six pages. Essentially asking the case be dismissed. So I think all the little defendants who wouldn't allow me to run for office for United States Senator last year, and who I'm also saying, hey, look, this revised statute of Missouri is unconstitutional because what you do is that you throw people in jail, you put them in a nut house so they can't run. What the hell are you bitching about what Iran and China and Zimbabwe and Libya do? I mean, essentially, they do the same thing. It's just they don't pretend to be a democracy. You annoy Robert Mugabe, well, they beat the crap out of you or kill you or put you in jail like they did Morgan Tsvangirai. Well, here in Missouri, they do exactly the same thing, but they talk about free, open, fair, honest elections. And I'm going to go ahead and point out, look, Missouri Republican Party, I have a right as a white man to go ahead and run, and I want you to overturn, you know, Runt or Skunk Blunt, Matt, you know, Roy Blunt being turned because guess what? He didn't face a actual white man in the political primaries, and therefore this election needs to be done away because guess what? You didn't have a free, open, fair, honest election. You know, now Runt Blunt, if he'd run against me, would have won. But the thing about it is I look at, well, hey, if as a white man, I am not allowed to either vote for other white racists, that I'm not allowed to, if I'm not allowed to actually run myself, well, guess what? Why should I or anybody who wants to vote for me, at least in Missouri, why should we have to pay federal taxes if I'm not allowed to run as a federal candidate and white supremacists or white racists or white separatists or white nationalists are not allowed to actually run or vote a candidate that does represent them? So if we are not allowed... If we are not allowed to have representation, how dare you go ahead and put upon us federal taxation? Correct?
Right, country is so corrupt. I don't even comment on it. It's a waste of time. What else am I going to tell you?
Well, I like stirring up the pot every so often.
Oh, I understand.
And the thing, see, Russ, as I look at it, Russ, this country is going to fall apart in great tribulation. You're going to have a racial war, a civil war, the rest of it. What happens is I don't want any surviving Whiggers to whine, "You didn't have to go ahead and kill 90% of us and all the niggers and Jews. That was a peaceful solution. You should have been able to run for office. You should have been able to go ahead and speak your mind on a webpage." And I say, "Well, no. You went ahead, just like the Pharisees. You knew where the door was, and you closed the door, not only to yourself, which you would not enter, but you shut the door to every other white man. You and you alone are responsible for the Civil War, which had to take place for our very survival. It is you. You is you who went ahead and made peace, a peaceful change, a peaceful working through the system impossible. You understand what I mean? And that's my job, is to go ahead so that no Whigger, no Jew, no Mamzer can claim after the fact that it is altogether my fault or white nationalist's fault or white separatist's fault or white people's fault for having to wage a war of racial and religious survival. You understand what I mean?
I agree with you.
Well, someone once went ahead and said I do too much Mafia Wars. Folks, I have not played Mafia Wars for a week or so now. I don't even have time much to play Mafia Wars anymore. But getting on is that I loved old Willie. Willie would go ahead, and in 2000, Willie invited me to go to this private web email tree. And how long have you had a computer? How long have you been on the internet, Russ?
Well, I guess around 1998, 1999, somewhere in there.
Okay, I've been on the internet since 1995. I had first page in February 22nd, which is, let me see. Tomorrow is my 24th anniversary with Roxy. Tomorrow is my 24th anniversary with Roxy. And the day after that is my 15th year of having a web page, Patrick Henry Online. And I've been on the internet, and when the thing first started, it started up as a bulletin board or a fax tree network. And then when you first got the internet, it started out as either Usenet or it started out as a sort of private email group. And then in 1997, e-groups came up, and you could go ahead and form a list. And then Yahoo went ahead and bought them out, and it became Yahoo groups. So what happens is that an email list for private servers was already having its day and age. And now, and then it, then the Yahoo group went to be formed by the V-Bulletin Forum. And now the V-Bulletin Forum, even as we speak, is being done away with by these podcasts and by YouTube videos. So what you see is that you see a decrease in reading ability and reading comprehension and writing. And what you see is an increase in just random sound bites and random... I call it the Whiggerization of the Whigger nationalist movement. But I got invited along with Willie Martin, and John Knight showed up because in 1999 the FBI was scared shitless about Y2 chaos coming around, and they come up with this Project Megiddo, which said that Christian identity was the racist glue which held the racist right together, and they were scared of all this lone wolfism, and they were scared about everything coming down, when Y2K came up. And as a result, the Missouri 51st Militia, the St. Louis First Volunteers, the Michigan militia, the Indiana militia, was being contacted. A bunch of suburban Whiggers were being contacted to find out all about these racist Christian identity maniacs that they had kicked out for violence or advocating violence or advocating whatever. And they were trying to snitch out all these Christian identity people. Now, let me see, getting to it. Willie Martin was invited to attend this group, Yahoo group called Holy Wars. I was invited. John Knight showed up, and essentially we had a fine old time until Y2 chaos turned to be bust here. And then in May of 2000, guess what happens? No Y2 chaos, no possibility of it. And essentially I believe the Holy Wars of Yahoo groups was nothing more than FBI observation post. So this Cygnus 1 of the Hotmail account, also known as Robert Paul, also known as Norse Knight, had brought in some character called Andy Anderson, who was a dual seed liner, who hated Clifton Emmeiser, who hated dual seed line. He went ahead and brought in Debbie Downey, and she brought in Maggie Butts. You call herself Maggie Butts, and she's also known as Gabrielle. And, Whiny Dave of UK, why they're sort of associated with Gabrielle and the rest of these people. And what happens is that, Andy Anderson, Andy Vaya con Dios. I used to call him Andy Blanchard Mamsers, Blanchard's Mamser Belialson instead of Andy Anderson. He threw a fit. He said that John Lee, John Knight, and this character called Franklin Wayne Poley and Yuri Karienko were a bunch of idiots who need to be censored. Since they wouldn't be censored, he was going to quit. So he officially quit, and then the next morning, he shows up, and he is the new moderator of Holy War without a vote. And then all the females, all the girly girls, who don't like Christian identity, the equivalent to Maui Patricia, the equivalent to Eighth Day Heifer, the rest of them, they love the change. And what they did is they banned the Jew, the half-Jew, Franklin Wayne Poley, they banned the mad Russian, Yuri Karienko, and they banned John Knight from Holy War. And and John Lee, the atheist, quit. And I threw a fit. I said, since when? Since when is there any censorship in Christian identity? This is not done. You don't censor somebody in Christian identity just because they disagree with you. And, see, Russ, this thing has happened.
Well, they do one. That's what you and I totally agree with each other. This is censorship pure and simple. This is a Jew technique. This is the way Brian Kike Manser, Bastard, whatever his name is. This is where
Brian Real
himself. He is terrified of any criticism of
him. Oh, yeah. Think us, too.
Opinions or anything else.
Think us, too. Eli James is, too. They're all scared.
Call me any name they want to. Sticks and stones will hurt my bones. Names will never harm me. I could care less. Fink has this thing called Zogbots. He's got you, me, and now we like James on there.
Oh, yeah.
I could care less. I literally could care less.
Well, I like the fact they spell my name right. The ADL and SPLC never spell my name right.
He's got a picture of me on there and everything else. I could utterly care less what the hell he says. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. And I guess it irritates Fink because Fink even had me on his website telling people to spam me and stuff like that. Well, if I'm being spammed, I'm not aware of it. Let's put it to you that way.
Well, generally you do send a bunch of emails to people here, but let's not get into that. What happens is that this censorship which occurred in 2011, the same thing occurred in 2000. You have the same thing here. These people get in, they're Mamsers or Jews, they immediately censor people, and they immediately start kicking out the genuine element and putting themselves in. And that is, folks, I have seen this time and time again. The first time I really seen it big time was in 2000 Holy Wars. And I complained, and I set up my own Yahoo group called Christian_Nationalist. It's still on It's still on Yahoo Groups last time I checked it here. So, folks, I lost control of it. I lost control of the ability to both post and to approve members. But you had Andy Anderson. He was going to all the other Christian Identity sites and say, why are you doing this? Why are you letting him allowed to slander me and do all this sort of thing? I said, well, Andy, we don't even know who you are. You just showed up and then immediately started kicking off everybody. You let all these women have their way. You went ahead and started censoring and banning people. And then you lied that, you know, you said that Liz said it accidentally self-unsubscribed himself. No, I was banned. And, you know, Andy was sucking up to me. And I, you know, in late May, I formed a new one saying the Holy War listserv is seriously compromised. I was the first one kicked off. And Andy Anderson went on, and what he did is that it went on for about, not quite 2 years. Then in March 2002, he got tired of Hengist needling him. So he banned Hengist, and then the next 2 weeks later, in early April, he banned all the dual seedliners except for this old Irish guy. And meanwhile, we'd formed a number of them, and we were spying. And it used to be to where just like on the talk show chat rooms, you have trolls and you have spies, and I spy, and sometimes I troll. I go ahead and make fun of these people. But you would have Andy Anderson with five people. You have Andy Anderson, Richard Nimula, Clint Downey, her little meerkat, and Maggie. And I got kicked off my Grammy internet service provider thanks to old Maggie making a bogus complaint, just like Brian Rio did. So you have the same thing. That's what they do. And Andy and Nimula tried the same thing with a new one. Essentially, Earthlink and Comcast told them, no more bogus complaints or we're going to kick your ass off. You don't go ahead and whine about somebody saying something about you when they don't go ahead and directly contact you. So Nimula and Andy Anderson backed off. Now, if Brian Rio at sbcglobal.net were to be kicked off of his, you know, of his internet service provider. And I think I am going to sue sbcglobal.net by holding them responsible for what Brian Rio has done. Essentially, Brian will go ahead and lose his internet service, and pretty well, Finkelstein, Elier, they'll end up having the same problem. Because, I don't think them three Mamsers have enough money to pay the damages. I'm going to be going after, you know, now that I know Jarrell has money, and he has an interest, I think I'll go after him, and Liar Bill, of course, over Genderbender. What you do is you go after and you make all of them who have participated in this misconduct, you drag them out into the open in front of a court of law, and you make them squirm. And these lawsuits are going to take. I mean, my Obongo lawsuit, shoot, it's been going on for 2.5 years now. You know what I mean? How long did your lawsuit against your ISP last, Russ?
Pardon?
How long did your lawsuit against your ISP last?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
How long did your lawsuit against Windstream last?
2 years.
2 years. And essentially, they went ahead and, you know, they went ahead and brought you up. Windstream ain't cut off your internet service, has it?
Well, technically, Windstream won the case. They dismissed it on antitrust and First Amendment grounds. And what happened is they reconnected me, and I have Winston to this day. And I don't think they're going to screw with me again because they know I will sue them.
Yeah, you'll sue them. And what happens when I was way back in the mid-90s, they said that the average lawsuit, which went up to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, cost $60,000
to $80,000. Oh, I think that's easily the case.
This was, what, 15 years ago? In the case of Brian Rio, in the case of the rest of these people, they're going to end up going ahead and whining to a lawyer, and essentially, since little Swordman's have been laying low for the last week or so, although he had a bunch of a flurry on Nimbusters, that's what he was doing tonight before his little Swordman's show, but essentially he's sort of laying low because guess what, he he doesn't want to go ahead and bring any more, well, he doesn't want to bring any more contact to himself. So.
Well, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but
Well, he didn't show up. He didn't show up on the Swordmancer show tonight. You had Finkelstein. Do you know that Adolf Hitler is the Archangel Michael? Finkelstein, he says that all the time. Do you know that the Archangel Michael is Adolf Hitler? Did you know that?
No, I don't think about it.
Well, that's what old Finkelstein said on a number of his shows, and that's what he said on the Swordmancer show tonight. How can anybody doubt that Hitler is the Archangel Michael? Well, I don't know.
Who says that?
Huh?
Who says that?
Finkelstein tonight.
He's crazy.
No, he's a Jew. He got a bunch of Jew crap on. See, what I do is I set out the MP3 player. I set out the MP3 player just before, I go ahead and put it right on the computer. And tonight I had it set on Toshiba number 2 because Toshiba number 1 is acting up on me. And I found out how to raise the volume. So I was listening to Finkelstein cackle, 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 cackle. And in any case, that was one of the stupid crap. Now, Finkelstein said this before, but then again, him and Eliar, they both believe that the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit from 500 to 1500. When I'm on there, I immediately go ahead. Well, do you really believe that, Eli James? Oh, yeah, I believe it. Just have a little change in the dates. And, I mean, listening to Eli this morning, he didn't really know Willie Martin. He didn't really know Willie Martin at all. John Knight does know Willie Martin. And John Knight has a number of notions. One of the notions you never can get John Knight to turn loose is that he believes that Hitler is not the Archangel Michael. He believes that Hitler's a Jew. And you could work till you were blue in the face, hollering and screaming at and John Knight, Hitler was not a Jew, Hitler was not a Jew, Hitler was not a Jew. And, I mean, you just can't get John, once John Knight, he's like an Irishman, he's like a Danite blockhead, once he gets a little notion in his head here, you can no more drive that notion out, even with a palate flat and a rusty nail, than you can draw a hog out of his pet wallow. You know what I mean? He might go ahead and circle around here while you have the palate flat. And you're waving it over that, but the minute you turn your back to the wallow, John Knight will be, and back to the wallow, the pig will be. So I learned. I pretty well gave him three chances way back in 2000, and after that, I pretty well washed my hands of trying to convince John Knight of anything. John Knight has his own notions, and you cannot change them. You know what I mean? Right?
Well, I don't know him that well, so I mean, I've talked to him on the phone a number of times, but I mean, I really don't know him very well, so I can't.
No, John's a real nice guy. John is a real nice guy.
He's not. I'm just saying I don't know much about him. That's the.
Oh, he's offered me space on a server in India, and I just can't seem to get in touch with him a lot of the time. He had a fire a couple months ago and burned down a lot of the
times. I've emailed him, he never got back in contact with me. He's hung out to dry on this goddamn Skype. I mean, what's wrong with the ordinary telephone? He likes to Skype, and if you don't have Skype and you talk to him, he has all kinds of noise and everything else. It's not my idea of communication. Hey, this is the year 2000, 2011, not 1910, you know what I mean?
Okay. By the way, Frank and Wigger says he doesn't have audio. Are the rest of you able to hear me? Okay. Well, looks like Frankie has some other things to do. I really like having Frank and Wigger here. Okay, folks. Usually, old Wigger problem. If I have a problem with recording or something like that, like I did with the Wiggers, why, I'll go ahead and ask Wigger problem for his copy. But I right now I'm saving this on MP3. On MP3 because
change the subject a little bit. I hear various comments on the internet, and I don't know if they're true or not.
Uh-huh.
that the Jews have now changed their sailing direction, and they've given Obama the authority to bomb Libya, blah 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 blah, hoping that when the dust settles that they'll be able to control Libya. I don't believe that'll take place. The Arab nations have had this sense of power, entitlement, whatever you want to call it. They've suffered tremendously. They're not going to let a bunch of goddamn kikes or some burhead nigger.
But they are. But they are. If you go ahead and look at, they're bombing the crap out of Libya. We got a third war.
Yeah.
We got a third war with ragheads.
Wait,
don't we?
They're bombing the hell. They're bombing the hell out of Gaddafi's support and everything else. I mean, it's just a matter of time before Gaddafi is overturned.
The
trouble with policy.
No.
Okay.
What happens is that, you know, just right, it was happening in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iraq. You can use these cruise missiles, and they are very good at killing, Muslim wedding parties and five little boys gathering out wood or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Them cruise missiles cost a minimum of $500,000, probably more. And it's sort of like when they used Tomahawk missiles way back in 1998 to bomb what happened in Poland. I have no idea. I'm not really concerned with what happened in Poland. Not really concerned with what happened in Libya. Not too concerned with what happened in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, what you end up having is that, I mean, it's sort of sobering. In 1978, when they overthrew their weak king, hey folks, could you guys, McGang, please quit poking the channel with silliness, okay? Go ahead and write the rest of it. You don't need to poke me, okay? In any case, getting on with it, when in 1998, when they thought Osama bin Laden was, when Osama bin Laden, they thought he was responsible for the Afghan, for the Kenyan and Tanzanian bombing, what they did is, hey folks, could you guys make a bunch of complaints about my gang? I went ahead and stupidly asked INTJ to unban him, and essentially what he does is that he likes poking, you know me with stupid questions. So if you go ahead, make a bunch of complaints, and just send them off, and look, my gang, this is the last chance, huh? It's not stupid. I would say annoying me, annoying me on my own show. I don't mind you going ahead. Why can't you, huh? Why can't you say something about Jewish in Poland? There's plenty of Jews in Poland. Lots of Jews in Poland. Lots of Jews in Zog. Lots of Jews in Israel. Jews all over the place. Why should I say something about Jews in Poland, you idiot? In any case, where was I? They bombed a number of tents or his compound in Afghanistan or wherever the heck he was left. They bombed a baby aspirin factory. They bombed a number of things. And essentially what you do is you're destroying a $10 tent with a $500,000 missile.
Oh. The military has no comprehension of how much money they're spending. They could care less.
They could care less. See, the most bombs they go ahead and send. Now, what you find out is that, tanks, you might go ahead and own them, and the tanks are very good for shooting down, rebellious soldiers. See, what they've done is they've expanded the no-fly zone into essentially strafing and shooting down actual military columns by Gaddafi. I think what's going to end up happening is that essentially Gaddafi will control Tripoli and Western Libya, and Eastern Libya will revert to the Cyrenians, as they call them. And as far as Southern Libya, nobody has anything to do with them because what they are is they're just a bunch of Bedouins running around the desert, in the Saharan Desert, not bothering anybody and not really giving a crap what Gaddafi does or what anybody does at all, because essentially they're living like they did 12,000 years ago. And by the way, people were saying that you have some of these Bedouins who are white people. They showed up around 1200 B.C., around the time that the Hittite, a.k.a. Canaanite, a.k.a. Jew, empire was being destroyed by Israelite barbarians. At the same time, the Mycenaean world after Troy was being destroyed by a new wave of Dorians, Ionians, and Aeolian Greeks, who were northerners who fused with the Mycenaeans. About the same time that Crete was falling apart, the same time that Ramses III was fighting with these sea peoples, and that is where you see the Philistines first showed up. And the Philistines were white Adamites. It was not against Yahweh's law to. It was not against Yahweh's law to breed with them, although, like Samson found out the hard way, having Philistine pussy was not a good idea. You know what happened to poor old Samson by running around with some of that now, don't you?
No, it's supposed to be separate.
Well, yeah. Well, see, the Philistines were white people. There was no law against, there was no racial law against marrying one of them. Samson was a judge of Israel. He was not impeached or kicked out because he had, you remember where he had one Philistine wife, and at the wedding feast, a bunch of Philistines, he went ahead and gave them a riddle, and they tormented his Philistine wife, and she told him the answer to the riddle. What eater of meat gave forth sweet here is a beehive and the carcass of a lion that Samson tore apart with his hands. So he got mad. He had to pay 30 garments. So what he did is he went to a Philistine city and killed a bunch of rich Philistines. And then gave their garments to them. So he was married to a Philistine woman. And here he was messing with Delilah. And that didn't turn out well for him, now did it?
No, it cost him his life.
Cost him his life. Cost him his eyesight. Cost him his strength. Cost him his judgeship. And, folks, if any of you want to see what the Roman Catholic mitre that June Paul II and the Panzer Pope or whatever wears, you go ahead and you see that little mitre? What that is the head of a fish. That's from the Baal deity, Dagon. That's where that little mitre comes from. It's from the Baal deity that the Philistines worshipped as Dagon or Dogon, aka Satan. That's where that little mitre, that little mitre that the Pope wears comes from. Getting on with that. So, I guess you learn a number of things. Well, anyway, this morning, here's Eli James. He don't know anything about Willie Martin. And Eli James don't know anything about basic dual seed line Christian identity. He doesn't know anything about the one seed line version. He's coming up, and Willie Martin comes up, he would come up with all sorts of notions, and sometimes he'd sort of be laughed at.
Martin, at this time, let me take off, okay?
Oh, okay.
You talk here.
Well, I guess I ought to. But anyway, you know John a little bit. You knew of Willie Martin, didn't you?
I knew of him. I don't know anything about him per se. That's all.
Well, I knew Willie Martin pretty good, and I'll go ahead in a later section talk about how I had a little bit of disagreement with Willie Martin, because Willie Martin was a real nice individual. I am not a very nice individual, so I could appreciate Willie. I could really love Willie. But sometimes Willie would, literally almost cause me to pull my hair out, because he would be Jew screwed is what he would be. He would be screwed by Jews, and then he would wonder why his butt hurt after he got Jew screwed. You know what I mean? So.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway. Talk to you later, Russ, and I'm glad you could show up. And folks, maybe one of these days I'll just go ahead and have you when you're not so ready to go to bed. I'll go ahead and interview some other time. It doesn't really matter because I'm essentially you're calling me and I'm recording you on the MP3 player. Okay? All right, hail victory. Good night, Russ.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, folks, what I'm going to do, since Russ is gone, I'm going to go ahead and take about a 5 or 10 minute break, cover Willie Martin, cover a few other things that's going on in the movement. But folks, I've been in this movement for a long, 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 long time. There's a phone going on. I've been in this movement a long, long time. I've been in Christian Identity since the age of 10. So I guess you could say I've been as long as what Mike Hallamore has been. Now, when I got in 1968, Christmas 1968, before Christmas 1968, I was 10 years old. And when I got tired of it at the age of 20, when I was able to go to school or go to college away from home and out from under my dad's thumb, why, I mean, when it came time to go up to Rolla, I pretty well had better things to do on a Sabbath, on a Saturday, than sitting my butt on a church seat, although I would meet my family for the Feast of Tabernacles, which was at the Lake of the Ozarks, which was not very far away from, the University of Missouri, Rolla. So, I'd go ahead and see them outside on the spring breaks. So, folks, I got, as a young man, able to understand some of what was going on, I got for a period of around 10 years, hours and hours and hours and hours of basic British Israelite Christian, in one seed line, Christian Identity. And here I listen to Elier, who has no idea what the hell he's talking about, Finkelstein, who has even less idea of what he's talking about, and all these here little Whigger and Mamzer and Jew punks who think that they know what the hell they're talking about. Now, I can have a conversation with Russ because Russ is a Christian Israelite. Russ actually knows, well, he knows a number of things, and just like John Knight, some of the things that he thinks he knows, I don't think are exactly so. But folks, I don't have a problem with Russ. And the one thing I wanted to point out is that what happened in 2000 on the Holy Word List server is the exact self-same thing which happens with Brian Rio, which happens with Finkelstein, which happens with Elier. These people get in, and first thing they do, they get in, oh, please, we will be good, we will be good, we will be good. And the second thing they do is they censor everybody they cannot agree with, they do not like. Second thing is censorship, and then the third thing is kicking people off the internet and causing nothing but trouble and trying to destroy web pages. Essentially, they do the same thing. And like one person said, this is Jew 101. Folks, it was Jew 101 in 2000. It's Jew 101 in 2011 or 2010. It's Jew 101 in 2011. These people hate us. They come in, just like Jews do, they come in as supplicants, please, please, Lord, we've been persecuted, prosecuted, whatever, please let us in. And it's just like Commander Rockwell said in his little poem, the story of the hens and the ducks. They come in, they take over, they are no longer servants of new masters, and the Christian Israelite is brought very low. And the racial alien, the Mamzer, the Jew, is brought very high. And then they work upon destroying us. Just like what happened under the first dog Babylon in Noah's day. The second one, which was meant to be set up in Nimrod's day. And the third, wherein we are both Israel, and we are also infested and overrun by Jews, to where we're also Zog Babylon. And the Babylonian system is out to destroy our people and make sure that we don't survive. And folks, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Be it 10 years ago, be it 20 years ago, be it 50 years ago, be it 100 years ago, be it 2,000 years ago, be it 7,000 years ago. Nothing has changed. The nature of the Jew has not changed, and neither has the nature of the gullible Israelite. Folks, I'm not a gullible Israelite. I've seen it all before. This is not my first time at the rodeo. I've seen it before. And folks, I know what needs to be done. What needs to be done is just like I have on the sign saying, don't fuck with the Great Tribulation. What you do is, in many cases, you deliberately lose so you can let Zog be on its notice, so that let Wiggers be on their notice to say, it doesn't matter. Just like, you know, just like the blood of the righteous has been shed between, you know, between Abel and Zechariah, between pillar and post. Jews do not change and Wiggers do not change. And folks, I've been here before and I've seen it occur time and time and time again. And, you know, folks, having a bunch of Wiggers and a bunch of Mamzers and a bunch of Jews in the bowel movement, and that's all they have, really, is that what I urge people to do is stay underground, stay alert, stay alive, get right with Yahweh and prepare for the time to come. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Hail Victory.
Oh,
Okay, folks. This will be the, I guess, the third section after the intro and the Russ Martin interview, a.k.a. Diatribe. Actually, I didn't let Russ get too many words in. He didn't know Willie Martin very well. I knew Willie Martin. And Willie Martin was really quite a scholar. He wrote quite a bit of material, but he amplified on Bertrand Comparé. And I still think that Bertrand Comparé was by far the best scholar, because what Bertrand Comparé would do is he would condense it down. He would condense it into, about maybe a 2,000-word survey. And folks, in many cases, unless you're really into it, Christian identity is not enhanced by making it 20,000 words or 50,000 words or 100,000 words. I find it best when I'm trying to explain what Christian identity is to give them the 30-second version. And the basic Christian identity version is the belief that white people from Northern and Western Europe are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, actually all 13 tribes, and that the dual seed line version holds that there are two seed lines, one good, one evil, and that the evil seed line is from Satan seducing Eve and giving birth. She gave birth to Cain, who was the world's first Jew. And yes, the Great Flood was just a local flood designed to destroy sitting Adamites. And what we have had is that over the centuries, 7,000 years, the white man has had the Jew infesting him, taking over his civilization and destroying it, because that's what Jews do, because they are the literal spawn of Satan. And the non-whites are just simply soulless beasts of the field. And that it's up to the Adamite to both have the law of Yahweh written in his heart, and only if he's called by Jesus Christ to be saved does he have a chance to do so. Now, that is the simplest exposition of Christian identity and dual seed line Christian identity, and it's far better to have things remain simple. I was listening to Fade the Butcher. He showed back up after 2 weeks on vacation, and here he is responding to some Jew or something named Boris or something like that. And here you have a bunch of Uyghurs. Essentially what they want is that they want to wish for an ethnic homeland where whites will be the majority and the non-whites don't get to live unless they really insist. And please, please, please don't let us all die. Well, Harold Covington knows far better than that. He understands that you don't beg Jews, you don't beg Mansers, you don't beg Zog to let us live. You go out and you win your victory. Now, what I disagree with Harold Covington is I think that the process of dissolution, I think the process of, what Harold Covington has to work with, I don't think there's 1,000 alpha people, or even less than that. I don't think there's 500. I mean, it'd be like me arguing with Covington, it'd be sort of like Abraham begging Yahweh, please, will you save Sodom if there are 50 righteous men? Well, how about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And the answer of it was there wasn't even one fully righteous man, because Lot was essentially a Uyghur relative of Abraham's, who got drunk and had sex with his oldest daughter and his youngest daughter and gave birth to the evil little bastards Moab and Ammon, who they were of the same race as Abraham, but they were treated as being the equivalent of less than Edomites. Same way with the Midianites. The Midianites were descended from Keturah. And you have Eli or James, and you have a bunch of these people talking, and they have no idea what they're talking about. None at all. They don't have any foundation in the basics of even British Israelitism. We were having a discussion where where, you know, I mean, where do you get the idea that Ashkenaz became a, you know, the Japhethites became the yellow people? Where do you get the idea the Hamites become the niggers? Folks, this is basic biblical belief. Now, if you believe that Adam and Eve were the very first people, that there were no six-day pre-man, you know, the niggers are not the six-day beasts of the field, that the chinks are not the beasts of the field, not even mentioned in the Bible, if you don't believe the American Indians are six-day beasts of the field, also not mentioned in the Bible, and you believe that Adam and Eve were the very first featherless bipeds who could have sex and create humanoids, well, folks, you end up having the same belief as the basic British Israelite. So where do you get all the yellows? Where do you get all the niggers? Where do you get the rest of these people? Answer? I mean, if there was a worldwide flood, like, you know, the one-seedliners believe and the rest of the world, you know, fundamentalist Christianity believes, Where in the world did the yellows and the blacks come from? Didn't they all drown? Answer: well, Dual Seedline says that they didn't all drown. Dual Seedline says the flood was just a local flood, that they lived in the Tarim Basin, which was brought down and the mountains brought up so there would be a little bowl, and that all these Adamites who were sinning, having sex with demons, having sex with non-whites, creating all these mamzers, including, and all these Rephilim, including Og and Sihon, who, according to legend, clung aboard the Ark for the 40 days and 40 nights and for the year that took. And from my gather, they weren't invited in. And Og and Sihon were twin brothers, and Og was at least 12 foot tall. He was a bigger giant by far than Goliath, who was only 9 foot tall. And folks, John Britton, Pastor John Britton, he learned far more about that because his daddy was Wesley Swift's prison minister. That's why James Britton didn't much care for what Richard Barrett was plotting to bring in all these prison bait. He got to see prison bait. He knew that having a prison minister in many cases is sort of like going through a dumpster, eating a dumpster full of garbage in order to salvage one grape. Now, it's true. There are some innocent, dazed people. And folks, if you're white, it's real easy to run foul of the law. Real easy to run foul of the law. But the problem of it is that many cases, especially if they call themselves Aryan Brotherhood, there's not a white man among them. They're all mamzers with tattoos and the rest, non-white behavior. They're simply a prison gang pretending to be white. And Robert Frenz's law of white nationalism shows here, as people get more and more non-white, they'll pretend to be white more and more and more. And the end result is you'll have people like Brian Rio, you have a bunch of people like these clowns that I was arguing with, playing at being Christian identity. Anyway, Wow, everybody's going to jail on Mount Mill. Mamzer boys say so for contempt of Mamzer. So I'm looking at this sort of thing. Well, yeah, he's been quiet since. Yeah, I think he was smacked. I think him and Cousin Ray were smacked. Him and Cousin Ray from White Gear got smacked quite hard. So, anyway, someone was saying about black chick being very good at fellatio. Well, maybe that's so here. I don't know. I used to roll with my windows rolled up every time I was driving through a southern city. You know, if you're a white guy driving a big truck, you want to keep your window rolled up. Not only because it's hot outside, but because you know, every single time you stop at a stop sign outside the project, you'll have a whole bunch of nigger hookers tell you about what you can buy for $10 that you don't want, that you do not want. You don't want if you have any sense. So, folks, I mean, I really wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know whether, you know, where this guest said was true or not. But folks, I really don't want to learn. That's not something I've ever had much intention of learning. The thing about it is that this is just another tradition about Og and Sihon. John Brenton heard about it from his dad, and he just put it out one night, and then later on, when I was asking, well, where did you get that sort of thing? Oh, my dad pointed out, and he did a Google search, and what there's a good deal of, apocryphal evidence, and like church windows and all this sort of thing, which show that at least that was what people believed. So, do I have a website or something supporting evidence to support the story of Og and Sihon? The answer is no. Folks, what Herbert Armstrong had is that he had a good deal. Herbert Armstrong was essentially I call him Herbert the Pervert. I don't know if it's true or not, and I don't really want to go ahead and speculate upon that. But Herbert, as far as I was concerned, I do know that Herbert was a thief. Herbert pretty well plagiarized everything that he found out, except for the part about tithing, divorce and remarriage, and anointing clause. And folks, all the crap, it's sort of like, what was original, what was good, wasn't original with Herbert. And what was original with Herbert was no damn good. Folks, I've seen, probably unlike anybody else has seen, I have seen pastoral abuse of their little sheep. And my dad wouldn't tolerate it. That's why he kept on getting disfellowshipped. He got disfellowshipped first time when he sent me to the hospital. Meanwhile, old Don Mason's oldest daughter dies of a burst appendix because he has to give her an anointing cloth because he's one of Herbert's ministers. So, folks, I have seen pastoral abuse. I have seen it actually killing people. Little girls with ruptured appendixes. Family men. Wage earners. Who, my dad's shocked. He nearly got himself shipped a second time when he said that, Gerald something or another. He left a wife and two children. And my dad scandalized everybody at the funeral when he said that $12 worth of penicillin could have saved that man. $5 if you used cow lincolnson on him. Or cow combiotic. $12 worth of penicillin could have saved that man. And he nearly got the fellowship the second time for saying something like that. And I have seen Herbert Armstrong's church being used to justify thievery. I have seen it, justify Jews. I see it justify a whole bunch of things, but mainly thievery. And folks, that's not what my ministry is about. My ministry has been essentially telling about the frauds and the liars and the crooks and the cheats who infest Christian identity, who infest this movement. The cowards, the liars, the cheats. And folks, I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to make sure that chances are whoever you're following, if you don't know them very well, if he's not one of your 10,000 warlords or your local one who's able to go ahead and do what needs to be done, don't follow him. Don Black is just going to take your money and data mine. Alex Winder, I don't have too much sympathy really for Kevin William Harpham, who hung around knowing that Trader Glenn Miller was probably bankrolling BNNF and yapping stupid crap and essentially being chosen like a stupid sheep to take the blame for the bionic backpack, like Phil Covington says. Kevin Harpham was warned. Kevin Harpham couldn't learn. Now Kevin Harpham is going to learn the very, very hard way. He's not going to like the lessons he's going to learn any more than Edgar Steele. I think Edgar Steele is going to wiggle out of this. At least I hope. At least I pray. I mean, Edgar Steele has his uses. I have some respect for Edgar Steele. In some cases, I don't have respect for Edgar Steele. But, folks, I hope and I pray Edgar Steele will get out of it. I hope Mr. Harpham will go out of it. But I don't have too much sympathy for Mr. Harpham when he has been warned that you do not deal with anybody who's an informant. That's why I don't have too much sympathy for all these little tards. I've seen these wigger tards come and go, and I've seen them come and go. I went ahead and fought with them on Elias, because Elias went ahead and left his chat room open. Essentially, I fought with all these characters, and they want to pretend that Brian Rhea was white when he's not. They want to pretend that, oh, I don't know how it is. Why is it that Eli James looks like this, this Jew, like the twin brother of this Jew, and Rahm Emanuel lighting up a Hanukkah flamethrower? Why is that? Well, I have a real good reason. Because Eli James is a Sephardic Jew. Why does Eli James change his name from Joseph Cutts to Joseph Stalin November to Eli James, and who knows what it was before it was Joseph Cutts? Who knows? No one knows. Well, I think Eli James is a Sephardic Jew, but okay, well, Massachusetts 1488 disagrees. He thinks Eli James is an Ashkenazi Jew. Finkelstein is an Ashkenazi Jew. I think Elias is a part of Jew. That's why Elias is a lot more dangerous, because he's a lot more smooth. But I was listening to Eli James talking about all the sort of stupid stuff here. And some of really smart stuff, you sort of wonder about it. But in many cases, because Willie would write quite a bit, usually you'd sort of see where Willie Martin was coming from. Now, the main issue that I went ahead and found, the most famous Willie Martin sermon was called Unity is a Curse. Because, folks, it's Zog Babylon, it's Cain, who's Nimrod, who wanted to bring all the Adamites under their control, under unity. Folks, unity is a curse. I call it Junity is a curse. I would reprint the Willie Martin sermon of that quite a bit. Who's here? Look, Mr. Zitz, you're right now on a religious channel. We're having services right now. This is not a gaming site for now. Okay? What's Nimrod? Nimrod was the son of Cush, who was the son. Let's see. Well, okay, Mr. Zitz at least been muted, okay? The nigger Cush, yeah, I believe that Cush was a nigger. Ham was a total wigger. We were talking about that, they were talking about that, and I was pretty well banned as guest number three by then. And you see, the British Israelite people, and same way with the Baptists and the rest. They were talking about, Canaan was cursed and Canaan was cursed in Genesis chapter 9. He was cursed because he was the spawn of Ham's wife, Naamah, who was Tubal-Cain's sister. Now, Naamah was also Noah's, his father's wife's name. So you have a lot of confusion in Genesis chapter 9. And folks, I don't know all the main thing about Genesis chapter 9. I don't know for sure what the heck the deal was about seeing his father's nakedness. I really don't. But I often wondered, because you had Herbert Armstrong and Armstrongism, British Israelite, saying that, well, Josephus said that Adam and Eve had 33 sons and 22 daughters, or 22 sons and 33 daughters, however it was, and that's where Cain got his wife, and that's where, that's where the yellow people, and that's where the black people, and that's where the red people, where the white people came. And when you believe there was a worldwide flood and Adam and Eve were the very first people, you end up believing, of course, that the only people who survived the flood was Noah's wife, Japheth, Shem, and Ham and their wives. And so the worldwide Church of God preached that Japheth married a yellow woman, Shem, the middle son, married a white woman, and Ham married a nigger woman. Now, according to tradition, just like with Og and Sihon, three critters had sex aboard the ark: the dog, the raven, and Ham. And they're all variously cursed. And where did Cush come from? Cush came from, from him screwing a nigger, is where Ham ended up getting Cush. And then Ham was a thief, and he stole the garments of power. These garments that Yahweh had created for Adam and Eve when he escorted them out of the Garden of Eden once they knew they were naked. He had killed all the beasts and used a portion of their pelt for the garments that Adam and Eve wore. And supposedly they were red and also of many colors. And whoever had these garments would dominate the beasts, would have dominion over the beasts, and be able to approach them, get them to come right up and slay them. And he would also have some dominion over the non-whites, the beasts of the field, the non-Adamites. And Ham stole these garments of power from Adam and Eve, which had devolved upon Noah. And Ham stole them, and he gave them to Cush, and Cush gave them to Nimrod. And with those garments, Nimrod was able to lure the beasts within arrow range and kill them. He was able to also rule over the non-whites. And they were talking, they didn't know a dang thing about what they're saying on the Eli or James show this morning about how Hebrew was a differential of Korean and all this sort of, stupid crap. Folks, the Noahites all spoke one language up until their language was confounded at Babylon. The reason it's called Babylon is because their speech was being confounded so that the white people would scatter like Yahweh intended for them to do. So they no longer had the same tongue, and where Hebrew was derived was from the original tongue. And you have people used to sort of understand that. The Mormons sort of understood it as well when they come up with their Book of Mormon about, oh, please don't let our tongue be confounded so we may stick together and let's go to the New World and do all this other stuff here, be they Etherites or Nephites and Lamanites and all this other thing. Folks, if people had some idea of what they were talking about back in the day, they wouldn't be talking all this stuff and not knowing what the hell they're talking about. That's why I have the benefit it's not as good a benefit as John Britton's growing up in a dual seed line Christian identity household, but I had the benefit of essentially 10 years when I was young enough to retain it. Of at least a British Israelite one seed line training method. And folks, I probably have far more hours than any seminary student. Okay? So I know that what these people believed. And folks, the Baptists used to believe that the nigger slaves were cursed because they were the sons of Ham. They were cursed because they were the sons of Ham, because Ham, seeing his father's nakedness, and he cursed Ham. Well, no, he didn't curse Ham, he cursed Hayden, you know, Canaan. But Ham was sort of like Esau. He was a sort of worthless wigger. Most people think that Esau lost his birthright when he traded it in for some lentil soup, for some split pea soup. And the answer is no. Esau lost the birthright. In fact, he was doomed to lose the birthright. Remember? It's Jacob, Israel I loved, and Esau I hated. They were fighting in Rebekah's womb. They were both pure-blooded, you know, Adamites, pure-blooded from Abraham, pure-blooded from Isaac and Rebekah. But what happened, you know, what happened with Esau? Well, folks, if you go to Romans chapter 9, you understand that the clay does not choose, you know, who to be for the potter, but rather, folks, I have a dry mouth here. Hold on, folks. The clay does not choose who to be. Whether it be a vessel of wrath and destruction or a vessel of mercy. But rather the potter chooses what to make of the same clay. And if you're Esau, I guess you just got a hard lot in life to hoe. But Esau lost the birthright. Probably before he had the urge to miscegenate with two Hivite women. Two Canaanite women. And even though he went ahead and, you know, married Ishmael's daughter Basemah, I think that was her name, that's what John Britton says. Even though he went ahead and married Basemah, Ishmael's daughter, that still did not bring back his birthright. Now, over the centuries, the white Edomites, and Russ didn't seem to understand when I was reading Deuteronomy 23, and we went on past the, you know, the portion of the eunuchs not being allowed in congregation, and the Mamzers not being allowed, about how the Egyptians, about how the Edomites were allowed. You will not abhor the Edomite because he's your brother. Well, that refers to the white Edomites from Ishmael's daughter through Esau. Folks, there are no white Edomites left here. There's only Jew Edomites. There's only Canaanite Edomites. Because the white Edomites, who were of a mind to be saved, were brought in soon. When you had this, you know, during the days of Moses, when Moses was talking, you will not abhor the Edomites. This was way back during the times of Moses. By the time of Jesus Christ, whatever Edomites were not white Edomites, were not pure Adamic, Abrahamic Edomites. They were already intermarried with the Jews, and the ones who were of white, who wanted to be, were already brought in with the Israelites. Same way with the Egyptians. The Egyptians were from Naama. They weren't from the niggers either. Ham liked having lots of pussy. He liked nigger pussy, liked Jew pussy. He liked he liked having white women too. And he found an Adamite and he gave birth to Mizraim, who was the father of the Egyptians. So Ham had white children who were called Hamitic from Ham. And they became some of the Egyptians. Mizraim, if you look at the Farrar Fenton Bible, Mizraim is referred to as an Egyptian. Let me see. Thou shalt not in the book of Second Opinions. Okay. Okay. Did Japheth have a yellow fever? Well, Japheth in some cases. If you look at some of Japheth here, supposedly you had people like Lotham started believing. You had some of these people like Lotham started believing that he was descended from the Japhethites. You see, Japheth's oldest son was known as Gomer, but his other name was Gog. He had another brother called Magog. And these Jews who claimed to be Ashkenazi Jews, Ashkenaz was Gomer's eldest son. And the Ashkenazi Jews claim to be descended from Ashkenaz. Well, what they've done is that they have hidden the point to where they don't wish to be known as Khazars. Where did the Khazars come from? The Khazars came from the Hittites. For example, Elam was one, Asher and Elam were two of Shem's sons. But the Elamites look like niggers. They look like niggers in the picture. If you look at the Assyrians, what they look like is they look like Jews. If you have pictures of the Amorites, some of them look a little bit Jewish, but most of them were, they were the blondest of the Canaanites. The Gibeonites were Amorites. I went ahead and found out that. I've sort of been asking. I went ahead and found out that when I was looking at the curse upon Saul's family. And, folks, all these people came from somewhere. They had antecedents. They had people who sired them. And they also had mothers who gave birth to them. And that is why the Bible is so big on the genealogy. On the genealogy of Christ and also on the genealogy of Cain. On the genealogy, not of Abel, because Abel was murdered by Cain. He was Adam's son. He was righteous Abel. But essentially from Seth. And here you have a Jew like Eli James who don't understand anything other than what he learned in the Talmudic school. And folks, they do learn more than most. They do learn far more than most Quakers do, most Baptists do. That's why he has Greg Howard. Old Greg Howard acts like Eli James is a font of knowledge. Well, Eli James doesn't really know anything other than what he has picked up trying as a Jew to infiltrate Christian identity and the Klan and white nationalism. And as a result, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And that's why you end up having John Knight, who came late to it, knew, read a good deal of Willie Martin stuff. And Willie Martin did know a good deal. Willie Martin knew a good deal about it. I mean, you have to know something about dual seedline Christian identity if you're going to expand on Bertrand Comparé from 2,000 words to 20,000 words or more. And Willie Martin did understand a great deal of Christian identity. Of course, he would get on his little particular tangents. Now, getting back to Willie Martin, when I got kicked off the internet server in Granby by Maggie Bellbitch Butts, who pulled the same act of censorship that Brian Rio wanted to do, well, I had to use my Monette.com instead of going to the Neosho, instead of going to the Walmart over at Neosho 14 miles west, we went to the Monette Walmart 18 miles east. And then we'd drive about another 2 miles to Roxy's Niece. And I had a computer there, and I'd download my email, and I'd cut it on to a CD-ROM, and take it home to the computer at home, reload it, write up my responses, and then the next week I'd come back there. And that occurred for a couple months. And meanwhile, I no longer bought. I went ahead and got a cell phone, got free minutes, and was pretty well talking to Hengist. Now in 2002, I got kicked off September 10th of 2001. Folks, I remember September 10th, 2001. Because guess what happened on September 11th, 2001? I remember being kicked off by that bitch Maggie on September 10th, 2011 from the Granby Telephone Company. And folks, at this time I had some lawsuits still against a number of people from 1995, 1996. I had 6 lawsuits out. And they were winding their way through court. That's why Brian Rio, he's smoking something here if he believes that any lawsuit's gonna be cited real quick and in his favor. Just like I told Russ here. Russ's lawsuit lasted over 2 years. And essentially he, quote, lost once the lawyers... Folks, that lawsuit, let me just tell you, most of the time, the lawyers for the defense or anything like that do not want to end the lawsuit. Because if they end the lawsuit within 30 days of being filed, where will they get the money to bill out at $400 an hour? No! An insurance company lawyer never wants to end a lawsuit within 30 days. Never wants to. Why? If he ends it in 30 days, well, guess what? He only made a couple thousand dollars out of it. Nope. Lawyer wants to make sure that a lawsuit lasts at least a year or two. So as a result, they go through the motions of filing a motion, which is easily dispelled. Folks, any particular case, as long as the judge is honest, relatively honest, you don't pull this crap, he goes ahead, he makes a decision, guess what? You file a Rule 59E motion, tell him how he's full of shit, and if he doesn't agree, well then guess what? You take it up to the to the United States Circuit Court. In my case, the Eighth Circuit. They don't love me there. They don't like me at all there. But folks, you can turn a jaywalking ticket to a lawsuit which lasts 5-6 years and costs a city or a city's insurance company $60,000-$80,000 if you know what you're doing. You can make sure that this pig will have around his neck for at least 5 years, and then for the rest of the time, I don't want to hire you, pig, because guess what? You're a lawsuit magnet. That's why Brian Rail is never going to be hired by any police firm. I mean, they know he's a lawsuit magnet. He's been suing people for insurance money. He's a lawsuit magnet. He's a hardcore unemployable. Nobody in his right mind, no police station, no police service is going to want to hire him. But yet, he has to be a pig. He has to have the ability to wave his big guns here. They get from daddy, get somewhere from daddy. They shouldn't have as a professional pig. And guess what? They just go ahead and look to see they got, nearly Section 8 out of ROTC. That the Marine Corps Officer Candidate School put a big old blot in his escutcheon forevermore. They don't want anything to do with him. So, getting onto it here, any lawsuit will last a long, long, long time. And that's why I've been reluctant to pursue it. Until literally, I really don't have any choice in the matter. You see, when I file the thing, I'm going to want to be taking care of the Obongo lawsuit as well as any other new lawsuit. Do it once, you know, term shopping here. You don't want to be there forever. Usually it only takes about 10, 15 minutes. They go there, you pay the fee. What they do is that they scan one copy and the exhibits, the verified complaint, any other motions. They go ahead and just take the staple off and feed it sheet by sheet by sheet by sheet. I've seen them do it. They have a little page scanner. Folks, it's in PDF file. And that's how they've done it for the past, oh, really, about 10 years or so. Really, a little bit longer than that. I think they went ahead and changed it way back around 1998 or so. Nowadays, I mean, you go ahead, they'll give you the original back. They'll give you the original back. If they ask for a file stamp, they'll give you one. But they no longer stamp the file, they stamp it received. Because the original filing is already on the PDF file. Picking a docket, picking a judge. Now, because I had a Jew judge from what I gather was essentially kicked off the case. Do we want to have a Jew judge deciding where the lead plaintiff is the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations, Missouri? And the answer is no. But getting on it. Listening to what happened with Eli James and the rest this morning, his little bunch here, you have these people calling themselves Phineas. Folks, if you are actually a Phineas priest, I believe that they do exist. Phineas is the last name you will call yourself. If you're a little mamzer like, you know, Jeremy Visser turned out to be, supposedly he named one of his little high yellow mamzer red nigger offspring Phineas. Why would you name a kid Phineas unless you're trying to prove to idiots something that ain't true? You don't think Visser didn't know that his brother looked like a beaner? You don't think Visser didn't know that he was a Cherokee? Visser knew full well, you know, what his parentage was. And yet he was fooling people, lying to people, up until the time where here he is stalking his higher yellow hyber nigger wench in Washington State. A mother-in-law files a stalking charge, so he runs on home to Georgia. He spends 3 weeks in jail, and then once he gets out of jail, he takes down his web pages for him on September 10th, waiting for the Google cache to expire. That's what he told people he was out to do. Folks, Visser has played that little game. Last year, he disappeared, four times in 1 year. Four times in 1 year. And most of the time, what he would do is he would take down his web pages and his forums, because they had all sorts of evidence which didn't make him look good. And once he had to admit he was a mamzer in order to weasel out of the stalking charge, folks, I suspected he was a mamzer. I suspected here he was with Brian Wright. Brian Wright, you're a mamzer too. Well, why is he saying this 3 or 4 or 5 times? Why are you letting Brian Wright back on again? You know he's a mamzer. Folks, real white people will not bring in a mamzer or a Jew into the congregation. They know that they're not supposed to do that. And yet, that's exactly what has happened with Eli James, with Bill Fink, and Brian Rio, and the rest of these tards. They know full well. And folks, these days I'll put up that chat where I'm arguing with these characters, and you come up with this notion, by your fruits are you known. Well, yes, by your fruits are you known, but on the other hand, do you think you're going to get Christian fruits? white fruits, Aryan fruits from a Mamzer tree? Visser was shown to be a Mamzer. He showed to be a Mamzer because he wanted to weasel out of the stalking charge to where I'm not Aryan Nations. No, I'm a Mamzer. I'm a Cherokee. Hey, Pussy was a Cherokee. And then, on December 3rd, when he'd weaseled out of the stalking charge, well, guess what? The Cherokee came down, and then here he is trying to play Unabomber. And he's letting Eli or James know, well, Linstead, I was talking about the FBI about, you know, making bombs here. It's all Linstead's fault. He did that on his forum. Well, his forum's down, but he did it on his forums. Well, forum's up. Where did I say that you were plotting to be a bomber? I said you were a Unabomber, not a bomber. But here's Visser. He runs around. He deliberately tries to look like all these composite pictures of the Unabomber. And he is blaming me for letting the FBI think that he's a wannabe bad bomber. And Eli or James is repeating that lie desperately. Folks, there is no, there, you know, essentially, if you listen to Eli James' show of this morning, here he was talking about how Brian called him yesterday morning. Brian, you know, him and Brian Real, they're still close. Eli James knew what Brian Real looked like. Bill Fink knows what Brian Real looks like. The rest of these people know what Brian Real looks like. Now, folks, it's a big deal that Brian Real is a Mamzer. Why is it a big deal to these people that Brian Real is a Mamzer? Answer, because they're Mamzers and Jews themselves. Simple thing. Same way with Jeremy Visser. Didn't matter that Brian Wright was a Mamzer. Didn't matter that Brian Wright called Jeremy Visser a Mamzer, and then we pretend, oh no, I'm just making fun of you. Yeah, you're white. Well, Visser wasn't white. Visser was a Cherokee Mamzer. So folks, why do you believe people who you don't know anything about, who just claim to be something, and think that because they claim to be something, because they're hiding under a name or an alias on the internet, that they have a right to decide who should be the leadership and Linstead shouldn't. He's a chomo, he's this, he's that. And essentially, they don't have any proof as to who they are, where they came from. Folks, when I got in 1994, you did have an internet. You did have an internet. But hardly anybody was on it. I was one of the first people on it, one of the first people to have a webpage, a still remaining webpage, in 1995. And folks, back then, you couldn't hide behind an internet alias. You had to show your name, you had to show your face. And I showed my name, I showed my face. I sort of kept concealed my Christian identity things, beliefs, because I, at the time, believed that it was possible to have a political solution by bringing up militias, and by 1996, 1997, I found out the hard way that no, that wasn't the case. So I shut down what little remained of my militias, told everybody it's time to go back under, underground, and folks, work out your own salvation. Because folks, the original militias, that's all they were, was people who knew each other, who were related to each other. In less than a dozen people in a militia, and they were all white, and all run by someone who's either Christian identity or Klan or both. And here you have all these Whiggers. Here you have all these Whiggers in St. Louis and Kansas City and Michigan. Oh, I want to be a constipational bill of goods militia. And they didn't like when the fact is that Patrick Henry and George Mason hated the Constitution. They were anti-federalists, and they said, if you read the Virginia ratifying debates, they said that, guess what? This Constitution will take away the power of the militia from the states and from the people and give it to the federal government. Because that's exactly what Article 1, Section 8 does. It takes away the militia. It federalizes. It says that the militia will be paid for out of federal funds. It will be called up as a federal militia. In fact, the militia became suspect in the Civil War when all these state militias, be they from Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, all these militias became the cadre for what later became regiments and brigades and divisions, which were used against the United States Army of invasion and occupation. These state militias didn't revert to the North. They didn't revert to Abraham Lincoln's control. I have heard that there was not a single vote for Abraham Lincoln below the Mason-Dixon line. Certainly not a single electoral vote. And none of those militias of North Carolina, Virginia, maybe West Virginia, but not Virginia, not Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, not a single one of them let their state militias become a federal militia. I never heard of the first Mississippi regiment, which was a Union regiment. Have you? And the answer is no. I heard of quite of 4th Iowa, which became a federal regiment, but certainly not the first of the Mississippi. That was all together a Stars and Bars band. So, anyway, Hack will spam your Facebook. Well, he might. And folks, I support Hack. I don't all agree with everything Covington says. But then again, I mean, I do see where Covington is right. And I listen to his podcast faithfully. I try to listen to him as soon as possible. Usually I don't get around to that, but I do try to listen to him faithfully. And Harold Covington is absolutely right. Zog is doomed. There is no hope for Zog. None. So, Brian Rio ain't going to shoot up any niggers. Who's Jeremy Visser? What's Phineas Priest? Phineas Priest is that there was a book written in 1983 by Richard Kelly Hoskins called Vigilantes of Christendom. And he pointed out, who Phineas was. In Numbers 25, supposedly he killed a race mixer. And the answer is he didn't kill a race mixer. The Midianite woman was more than likely descended from the 12 princes of Midian, who was descended from Abraham and Keturah, his third wife. The Midianites were racially the same as the Israelites. Where they ended up being hated is that they caused the children of Israel to go after strange gods. So it wasn't a racial thing, it was a religious thing. And Phineas killed this prince of the Benjamites and this princess of the Midianites with a spear. And from what I gather, Yahweh had spread a disease which killed 25,000 sinning Israelite men. But from what I gather, when Phineas, who was the son of Eleazar, who was Aaron's third son, went ahead and killed this Benjamite prince and this Midianite princess, the plague was stayed. Now you go ahead and find out that Phineas became a high priest, and from what I gather, Phineas, just like David was promised the scepter, Phineas' house was promised, I guess, the rod and the staff, the potential of being the high priest or the religious leaders of Israel. Now, the thing about it is, though, is that many times the descendants from Aaron through Phinehas were overlooked. In the case of this Eli, he wasn't descended from Phinehas, even though he named one of his sons Phinehas, and they turned out bad. And Eli died just as like was promised. Well, one of these high priests was Abiathar, and he was a high priest, but also his co-high priest was called Zadok, and he was descended from Phinehas. So in many cases, they would refer to the high priests as being Zadokites as well. And in 2 Corinthians, another descendant of Phinehas became the high priest. But in many cases, the sons of Phinehas, in many cases, the grandsons, the great-great-grandsons, whatever, in many cases were set aside for somebody who was not descended from Phinehas. Now, Richard Kelly Hoskins wrote this book, Vigilantes of Christendom, and he said that there were still Phinehas priests, and they performed a Phinehas priest act by, shooting niggers or shooting whatever, and you have had some people who believe that they are Phinehas priests. Now, I believe there are Phinehas priests. I believe there are people who know they are. But, folks, if you're a Phinehas priest, you're not going to call yourself Phinehas at all. And if you call yourself Phinehas, you're some wannabe retard, and usually a mamzer like Visser, who wants to claim to be something that he's not. And that's what you see on Eliars and Finkelsteins, is you see all these people pretending to be something that they're not. Eli James doesn't know anything about Christian identity other than what he's picked up, and that's why he interviews Mike Hallamore. In many cases, he don't understand Mike Hallamore, but he's agreeable with Mike Hallamore because no, Mike Hallamore is a genuine thing. He'll talk to John Knight, and John Knight will believe a number of things. A lot of what John Knight believes is wrong, but he'll go ahead and be real nice with John Knight. And what I should have done is warn John Knight off from Eli James. But on the other hand, would John Knight not do it if I asked him to? And the answer is, no, I can't go ahead and rely on that. John Knight does what John Knight does. It's, trying to tell John Knight to do something is like telling Russ Walker not to believe in Ephraim Scepter. I mean, you can disprove it, and 30 seconds later, Russ will just go ahead and dust himself off and believe the same thing that you just disproved 15, 20 minutes. It drives Finkelsteiny, it drives Eli James up the wall. Don't drive me up the wall, because I understand where Russ is coming from. I even have a notion as to where Russ came up with the stuff. And just like a lot of stuff, it came from Herbert Armstrong. Herbert Armstrong's notions. Because Herbert Armstrong believed that the Jews were descended from Judah, but they were bad, and what happens is that they didn't follow Christ. This is what most Judeos believe as well, before they became Christian Zionists. And folks, you still have Herbert Armstrong's descendants teaching that same stupid crap. You end up having Jews like Richard Niemöller, who got in. You have Jews like Yair Davidi, who got in. And every so often, you have to carry a hard line. And that's what I did with Willie Martin. Willie Martin wasn't going to tell Yair Davidi to fuck off, you dirty Khazar Hittite kike. I did. And then once Willie figured out, Martin's right here. I mean, I believe in dual seed mine, so yeah, he's not a member of Judah. He's a kike, like Linstead said. And then he started calling Yair Davidi a kike. But he didn't call, he was too nice to call Yair Davidi a fucking lying kike. Me, I didn't have any problem with being impolite like that. Called Yair Davidi to his face, and Yair Davidi did not like me for it at all. When I was trying to go ahead and write a paper about the Jews and their Talmud, I asked old Yair Davidi, well, you're a Jew. You believe in the Talmud. Could you go ahead and give me why you dirty Jews believe in the Talmud? And he called me an Amalekite, so he wanted to put a bullet in my head. And I called him, and I said, I'm not a 9-year-old Palestinian little girl child here, so you don't get to do that, kike. And essentially, him and I never did like each other at all. But in many cases, like when I got kicked off my ISP, I went ahead and told Willie Martin the story about the, you know, the priest of Yahweh who went to Jeroboam and told Jeroboam that they would all die and that their public temples would be turned into public outhouses, and the bones of these Baal priests of Jeroboam would be burnt on the altar. And I said this prophet was told to go there by one way, give his message to Jeroboam, and when he gave his message to Jeroboam, Jeroboam wanted to punish him, so that the prophet of Yahweh went ahead and withered Jeroboam's arm, and Jeroboam figured out that Yahweh wasn't fucking around. He said, "Oh, please, cure me! Don't let this happen!" Well, what happens? He said, "Okay, I'll fix your arm. I wasn't sent to go ahead and mess with your arm, but you're not going to put me in jail, you're not going to kill me, or you're not going to do nothing here. I'm leaving." Well, meanwhile, a different Baal priest sees it. He knows full well that he's a Baal priest. He's been gathered from the dregs, just like the Pharisees were. He's possibly an Edomite. And he knows full well that Yahweh ain't screwing around. If he's a Baal priest, of Jeroboam, his bones are going to be burnt on the altar before he gets turned into a public shithouse. So what does he do? He tells this priest of Yahweh, "Why don't you go ahead and come in and eat and drink with me?" And the prophet of Yahweh said, nope, Yahweh told me to come in one way and leave by another and not hasten, you know, just go ahead and deliver the message and get the hell out of Dodge. Get out of there. Well, this Baal priest says, "Well, hey, what happens is that Yahweh just talked to me. He just gave me a Finkelstein, Von Reel, Eli James moment. And, oh, what happens is that we're going to have a delicious feast of roast beef and beast here. We're going to guzzle it up. We're going to go ahead and have a quart of Mogan David here with a feast of roast beast here. And yeah, that's what Yahweh said to do." And, you know, the prophet said, "Well, okay." Well, they get it home. He sits down to eat, has a nice feast of roast beef, you know, and probably guzzled down a quart of the equivalent of Mogan David at the time. And then he gets up and figures out, I screwed up. So he leaves all of a sudden, and outside there's a lion, and the lion kills his ass. Because he didn't obey Yahweh. And then after he's dead, they gather up the fresh body, because the lion doesn't eat him. The lion wasn't sent there to eat him. The lion was sent to kill him. And essentially he gathers up when the lion moves off. Doesn't eat him. Doesn't do anything. Just sits there. Then leaves. Gathers up the stiffening corpse and says, "Well, where will we bury him? Potter's Field? No, we're going to bury him in my tomb. Why? Well, there's this king called Joash who's coming up the line here in about 200 years or so, and he's going to burn all of Jeroboam's Baal priest bones. I need to have this prophet of Yahweh's bones mixed in with my tomb so they won't get the scorch." And that's what happened. I said, "Willie, you need to get off Andy Anderson's holy whores listserv with Clunt Downey and her little meerkat, you know, her little sanctimonious, little supercilious, you know, Mark Clowney meerkat. You need to get off of Maggie Bell bitch butts. You need to get off Andy Anderson's, because essentially they're just a bunch of lying little Jew mamsers. Andy Anderson, his sister married a Jew, another married a Filipino, and married a Filipino, he was in the Navy. He was Larry Blanchard. Larry Blanchard started out as a Methodist. First thing he did was he went to Manila to save our little brown brothers and sisters. Yep, saved a whole bunch of aging oil Filipino bar girl prostitutes. That's what Andy was. He brought in Richard Nimala. I said, "Look, he's making you a co-moderator of this place here, so he's hiding behind your authority saying, well, guess what? Here, I got me a dual seed liner. All right, you know, and Willie Martin. I don't hate that. I said, Willie, if I'd have been King Joash and you'd have been that prophet of Yahweh who screwed up with the Baal priest, guess what, Willie? I'd have burned your bones along with the Baal priest. As far as I'm concerned, you screwed up. Your bones deserve a scorch. That Baal priest ain't going to get out. And Willie went ahead and quit the Holy Wars list server. And a week later, he came back and said, Martin, I know you're rather zealous here, but I've got to go ahead and preach to these people. I said, who? Liars? Mamzers? Whiggers? Jews? Why do you have to go ahead and talk to them? Let them die. In fact, the sooner they all die, the better, as far as I'm concerned. He got back on. But Willie was a nice man. I was just said, though, Willie, it's a good thing you were not born female because you'd be knocked up all the time. You just can't say no to anybody. And later on, about 6 months later, here he had, you know, well, 4 weeks later, he kicked off Hengist, who was my friend here, who betrayed me later at the Nut House. And 2 weeks after that, he kicked out, in early August of 2002, he kicked off all the remaining dual seed liners except for this old Irishman. Okay. I get back on the internet. And Willie is being kicked off because there's a guy named John Perna who still haunts some of the Yahoo groups. I call him Perna Lennon. John Perna. And John Perna is a Melungeon Jew from Columbia, South Carolina, who got caught. Well, I'm a chemical engineer, and I did this and I did that, but I also run these motel complexes. And some smart girl did a Yahoo search and found out that Perna was going ahead and leasing these things out to where they were, quote, gay preferred. So instead of paying $40 if you're a family man for your family to be in this particular motel unit, if it's gay preferred, you get $60 or $80. And everybody looked at that and talked about Perna's chicken ranch. They talked about Perna running a faggot brothel. We had fun with that. Perna, I'm going to sue these people. Well, why would you sue them? You've already gone ahead and paid. Don't give me this crap about getting free advertising, you know, gay preferred. Don't give me this crap. Anyway, thanks, Northwest, for showing up. And it looks like we lost a few people. But Willie was told by Clint Downey, Debbie Downey. Debbie Downey says, well, you kicked off all the dual seed liners. What do you need Willie for anymore? What do you need Willie anymore for? You ought to kick his ass off. And what Andy Anderson did, which was true. I mean, Willie was sort of superfluous. I mean, he kicked out all the dual seed liners. Willie wasn't necessary anymore, and he kicked Willie's ass, banned Willie's ass off the list server. He also banned old Perna Lennon because Willie wasn't able to prove that Perna was a Jew to Andy's satisfaction. But anyway, we still had this stuff about the Perna Lennon's chicken ranch and gay brothel. Because we saved the screenshot of where he'd advertised, you know, gay, his motel units in Crockett Lake as being gay preferred. But yeah, we had a fine old time, but Willie went ahead, you know, Willie got banned, and so did John Perna. You know, as I call him Perna Lennon, some people call him Perna Liar. He's still on AP, American Patriot Friends Network. He's on a few other ones here. He claims to be a butcher. We used to call him a reject from the Jew Bitch Society. Okay, well, I'm back, but I lost contact. Any case, that's why I use the MP3 player. Anyway, when Willie got kicked off, I went ahead and told Hengist, I said, get me some shit on that bitch. And I was referring to Debbie Downey. And old Hengist came back day or so later and found out that old Debbie used to be married to the Washington State dragon named Badinsky. And the third in command was the chaplain was none other than Mark Downey. And what happens is that she was allowed to call herself the Clayliff. Well, she was also the sexual mascot, and she was supposedly screwing five or six Klansmen, and she was appeared to be pretty good looking. She had big tits and all, and the Klansmen were enjoying the services of their sexual mascot, including Clud. And what happens is that the Clud ran off with the Clayliff and left the Klan bereft of their sexual mascot and the Grand Dragon as well. So they got a divorce, and they moved, the old Klunt moved with Clud, Mark Downey, in one of his parents' houses. So Hengist decided he would just stick to just the facts, please. That I can prove is that, guess what? Debbie Downey and Mark Downey are a bunch of, adulterers. So who's going to go ahead and prove that she's also the biggest whore in the state of Washington? The answer is, well, guess what? I am just the man for the job. So I said to Debbie Downey, I said, you're not no Klan Clayliff. You're the Klan Klunt. And gave old Debbie Downey, because she divorced the Grand Dragon. She divorced the Grand Dragon, and she didn't have anything to say about it. She came whining about 8 days later, saying that me and Hengist weren't lying, but we were spreading malicious gossip. And she was trying to figure out which one of the women who had knocked her out, which of the women had knocked her out. And one of them, used to be known as Tiger Lily. Now she's pure silly, and she runs Israelite Cut Court over on that here, and she's pretty well got rid of Finkelstein. She's an Elier follower here. So she was one of the women who knew about Clint Downey pretty well screwing everything. So I haven't revealed that till now, but, shoot, I don't have much use for pure silly, so screw her. She knew all about old Clint Downey. And she was one of the people who knocked. And Clint didn't know who she was, but she did name one of the women who pretty well knocked out old Clint. So now Debbie Downey, if she listens to this, knows who a second woman was. Actually, there were three or four women who was all bitched here. I don't know if Clint gave their husbands or boyfriends a social disease or what here. Gave them small cocks or what. But Clint Downey does not like me because I gave her the nickname of Clunt Downey. I said, you're not no Clan Clayless, you're the Clan Clunt. Essentially, she's over there, and she runs her little meerkat. At the time, they were running around with Andy and the rest of them were running around with Larry Blanchard. He ran off. He was the one seed liner. Mark and Clint Downey hate dual seed line. They hate, Mark's evil, vicious, mean. Well, Willie was the sweetest character. Willie had nothing to do with outing Clint Downey. It was all me and Hengist's job, and mainly my job, and I had fun with it. She did not go ahead and deny that the story was true until June, a year later in 2003. And they said, oh, it's a lie, he keeps making stuff up. Well, I went ahead and explained to you. Look, Clint, how the hell do you think I found out about Southwest Missouri, about your didos in Port Orchard, Washington? Answer, people know about your didos, and they've reported to me, because they know that I will repeat every item of malicious gossip, true or not. So, come on, Clint, fess up. And she made old Mark Downey send me the most evasive email ever. Essentially, it boiled down to, is Mark Downey's going to beat my ass if I come to his house to beat his ass? Okay. Well, I'm not going to come to your house. And you end up having liability clues. Folks, most of these people in above ground Christian identity are frauds. They're liars. They're Jews. They're Mamzers. And I'll fight with these tards, you know, to begin with. They don't know the single thing about Christian identity. They just know a few little things, and they play at being something, and they're not. And you go ahead and just looking like they're all just holding each other's dicks in a big old circle jerk. That's all it amounts to. That's all it will ever amount to. So, well, what is the whole thing about everybody showing up? Well, Brian Real, Matt Twat Zog Bot's going to show up to my house. They're going to mount a Grand Behovel invasion. That was before I found out who Sword Man's or Brian Real was. Way back in October 9th or 10th of 8th, 9th, and 10th of last year, found out who he was on the 29th. And in any case, you know, I mean, that's just standard. I mean, that's just standard Whigger behavior. I don't like what you said about me, and I can't disprove it's true, and I'm going to hide. So I want you to go, I want you to drive to Cincinnati or Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll meet you there, and we'll have a cage match. So I'm to drive 853 miles. To meet somebody who will not give me his name or address, and I'm supposed to go ahead and beat him. I'm supposed to meet him in a cage match. Same way with Liar Bell. I'm supposed to drive up to Florissant and beat up his little duplex where, you know, in the projects where his mama lived, and beat up my 85 IQ, 250 pounds of dog shit, 150 pound sack, Mumstead, Niglet, Niece, molesting Bell Priest, who lasted not quite 3 days. Oh, by the way, Liar Bell, he's been kicked out of Billy Roper's organization, and from my gear, let him loose a while back, too. So, here he is. He has absolutely no place to go other than Obagenda Benders. So, yeah, he's some guy named Brian Real. And Brian Real, everybody knows who he is. So, well, Liar Bell's freaking delusional. I mean, I'm looking at this sort of thing, and Liar Bell's telling me, well, what should I do? What should I do about my sustaining membership's about up on Stormfront, on Stormfront. What should I do? I said, well, do what you want to do. Well, what do you think I'll do? I said, I think I'll do what you need to do. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and stay on there, go ahead and put a few links as a sustaining member to my webpage and Jeremy Visser's, and you're a sustaining member, if you're not worried you're going to get kicked off. If you get kicked off, I wouldn't go ahead and pay you $60 until you're sure whether you're not get kicked off. He said, well, Debbie Downey, she's no longer moderator there. I said, oh, how come? Well, she got kicked off a year ago. There was this one guy who gave Don Black $8,000. And Debbie got all mad at him for some reason. And she went ahead and banned him. And Don Black was so mad that essentially, people give out $8,000. They don't grow on trees. And, you know, he was so mad that he was thinking of kicking out Clint and her little meerkat. But essentially, Clint said she wouldn't do it again. And Don Black said, damn right you ain't going to do it again. You know, and he went ahead and relieved her as moderator. And that's how come she got relieved as a moderator. She got relieved as moderator not for just going ahead and banging people or being a bitch or being a slut. She got released as a moderator because she cost Don Black the services of somebody giving him $8,000 who Don Black was hoping for another couple thousand dollars from. You know, an idiot. A paying idiot. A customer. A rube. So, Claude, her little meerkat, who's acting as her front, is the only one allowed to, use a clan title. Clayless had to change her name to Birder. You know, I mean, whatever the hell that means. And essentially, they're not trusted not only by the dual feed line, Chris Sandini, people for her antics. She's not trusted by Pete Peters much as well either. She'd always talk shit about Pete Peters, and Mark Daddy would say, there is no devil except Pete Peters. And essentially, they're not allowed along Pete Peters much either. So about the only one who'll put up with them is Tom Robb. And that's about all people who want to listen to them. Michael Burks and Jeremy Visser were laughing their heads off about Clint Downey and the rest of them here. So, folks, I've been in this movement, and I've seen these people have come and go, and once they get proven to be mamsers, they sort of disappear. Just like Brian Reel will disappear once he gets his ass sued. Well, just like the rest of them will go ahead and want to, you know, either settle up or behave themselves once they disappear. So, anyway. Now, I don't, let me see. Anybody heard of Bill Riccio? Not offhand here. You know, he's a threat to free speech everywhere. Essentially, people find out, well, Brian Wright, Brian Reel. I mean, what they are mamsers. They show up, and they don't know how to behave. They keep acting up, and that's the end of them, eventually. So, what I'm looking at is, I'm looking at what's going on in the chat. Folks, Willie Martin was a sweet man. Willie Martin was a Christian Identity teacher. I would read some of Willie Martin's material that he sent to me, and Willie Martin was the sweetest man. Now, was he a hard man? No. I mean, he was way too soft a man. And some cases, Willie would have to be reminded of his duty. And sometimes he would do it, and sometimes he wouldn't. But Willie Martin, I mean, he was the sweetest man I ever, you know, about the sweetest man I've ever seen. You know, a humble man, a meek man. I don't see where the hell Clark got the idea that Willie Martin was a monster, you know. I mean, you know, I can see where she thought I was a monster. my idea of dealing with a woman like Clut here is with a pallet flat, an oak pallet flat, and a rusty nail that I just pissed on. That's my idea of how to deal with Clut. You know, give her a lesson that she will not forget. And Clut knows that I would do it too, and a little meerkat too. But here's old Liar Bill. He comes ahead, shows up, sits like a lump. You know, like a lump of dog shit, just like he did in Clan of Mamsers on Episode 5, Season 2, with Ron Edwards. And folks, I wish I'd researched Missouri Case Net a long time before. I really do. That would have saved me a lot of time and trouble. And he told me all sorts of tales of woe about his niglet nieces, his sisters who married niggers, and how he got kicked out of the Air Force for allegedly stealing, and essentially, go ahead and look at his record. He's just a petty thief. He's a delusional idiot. And he really don't have any place else left to go, except over gender benders. And I was worried that he'd planted a bug here or something like that, but the idiot went ahead and put his Stormfront username and password. And I taught him how to get on Yahoo. I taught him how to get on Facebook. By the way, I have his Facebook account, I have his Gmail account in my browser on Toshiba number 2, and I went ahead and made him a certificate, you know, took a big old picture, you know, videotape of his big old belly, accepting ordination from me, asked him to serve 3 days, and, you know, before 2 days was up, he was talking about how he was sending private messages to Mark Downey. And how him and Mark Downey had made up. Well, folks, and how I had told him to hate Stormfront people, and how I hate him to, you know, hate Mark Downey. Folks, don't hate Mark Downey. Don't trust Mark Downey. Despise Mark Downey. Mark Downey is as weak a little critter. I mean, the one who causes all the trouble is Clint Downey. Now, I hate that evil bitch. But, that little idiot meerkat, Mark, I mean, if old Clint were to fall dead tomorrow, old Meerkat Mark would go back to being a fairly good graphics artist. Hopefully give up pretending to be a Christian identity minister. I mean, he's only believable. He's only allowed on Spermfront, where he has newbies who don't know any better. A few old characters like Sheepdougal, who used to be known as Queenie / Iberia, another faggot. You have these people, and they have no business being Christian identity. Because they're not. They don't know how to behave. They come up with a Sheldon Emery crap here. It comes up with Gerda Kotz, who turns out to be a Jew. Well, Eli James is a Jew. I just listened to Eli James on the Mike Callimore. I mean, that's precious. Oh, Gerda got found out to be a Jew? Ooh! And it's sort of like Eli James saying, well, how did she get found out? Did she reveal her tail or her snout or what here? I mean, tell me, Mike, so I can avoid being outed similarly. It is hilarious. It's hilarious about all these characters. They think they are fooling somebody. They think they are fooling somebody, and they're not fooling anybody. Not fooling anybody. It's hilarious what these people think they're doing. They don't know how to behave. They don't know anything about the theology. They don't have any interest in learning anything about it. All they want to do is pretend to be something. And folks, if you want to pretend to be Aryan Nations, by all means, Morris Gillette in Calhoun, Louisiana, that's the man to go to. Now, Morris is a crackhead and a cokehead and the rest of the idiots, and I'm pretty sure he's a rat. And sometimes I wish that I had never got him to renew his church charter, so he would be able to get Harold Grooms' $400,000, now $500,000 back here. But on the other hand, sure as hell didn't want Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright to get it. Although I don't think they knew anything about it here for all their cleverness. All these criminal geniuses usually turn out to be rather inept. Inept in every way. So if you want to go ahead and pretend to be a major general or a corporal major or something like that, you know, and you're an idiot, you're a mamzer, why, Morris Gillette in Calhoun, Louisiana, he can go ahead and make you that. He can make you a minister. He can go ahead and do whatever he wants to with it here. He can sell a membership, do all this sort of stuff here. People tolerated in Butler's day because that is what he did. That is what all he had to do with for spending money after he lost his farm to Morris Dees. But folks, as far as serious work of any kind, that's not the case. So, Liar Bell, he left his password and his username to Spermfront, and for about, 2 months, 2.5 months, I was spying up a storm, and then he decided he was going to take down Clint Downey and her little meerkat, so he bitched about what a bunch of hypocrites and liars and thieves they were. And he went ahead and sent it up to Lycia. Lycia sent it up to Jack Poot. Jack Poot sent it up to Don Black. Don Black said, oh, Clint is a comrade of 30 years' time here. Essentially what Clint comes wants, Clint comes gets here. That's why we have a Christian identity theology section is so that Clint can, so that newbies and idiots can think that the Downies are Christian identity pastors. He didn't exactly say that, but essentially what boiled down to is what Clint wants, Clint gets, because she's been a comrade for 30 years. Jack Poot says, hey, ease off on Clint. Essentially, let's see. So, well, I know they're bad here, but Debbie ain't as bad as Mark about it is. And what happens is that you need to let them do whatever they want. And Liar Bell had a shit fit about it, and he resigned on January 1st of 2010 from being the Christian Identity Spermfront moderator. If you go ahead and look at it, you have another Christian Identity at Spermfront moderator over on Visser's. He looked, he seen the cupboard was bare, and he doesn't show up. His name is Steponin or something like that. So, folks, you have these people who are wannabes, who never was, who never will be. They want to be, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. So, folks, I've seen these characters come and go, and I don't take any of them very seriously. Now, Brian Rehoff takes seriously. After all, hell, that little bastard has shut down more web pages than the ADLS PLC has done in the entire history of the Internet. He's done one hell of a job on me. In fact, this morning I sort of thought that my new download had gone south and that the hosting company had booted me. But I don't know if that happened or not, but I was having trouble with Toshiba number one. So I'm going to have to make a backup, and maybe it's about getting that sort of time again to just get a brand new computer by putting in the original restore disk. I thought I was going to have to do it this afternoon. So, folks, I'm going to end this episode. I'm not going to end this. I'm going to end this section of the Movement Third and take a quick break. Looks like we have lost a bunch of people. I'll go ahead and look at the chat, and I'll answer some of the questions. So, hail victory for now. There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. So I'll go fuck you up. Yes, I'll go fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands. So I'll go fuck you up. Yes, I'll go fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNL. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a doofmas goober little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion rides. A mum, that nigger and east molester, a pisser, pooker, possum, chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Dog will fuck you up. Yeah, dog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands. Dog will fuck you up. Yeah, dog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Okay, greetings, Remnant of the found sheep of the house of Israel. I'm going to go ahead and read, while I'm at it, this notice of electronic filing from the U.S. District Court, Western District of Missouri. The following transaction was entered on 3/16/2011 at 11:28 a.m. Central Daylight Time and filed on 3/16/2011. Case number of Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Area Nation, Missouri, et al. Versus Obama, et al. Case number 608-CV-03405-GDGK. Document number 28. No document attached. Docket text. Administrative transfer. Due to a conflict of interest by the Honorable Howard F. Saxon, at the direction of the Chief Judge, so from what I get, the Chief Judge kicks Sachs off. The above case was randomly reassigned to the Honorable Greg Case. District Judge Howard F. Sachs is no longer assigned to this case. Please note the new case number 608-03405-CV-S-DGK. I guess D is his first name, but something with D, GK. This is a text-only entry. No document is attached. Jones, comma, Robin. Notice has been electronically mailed to Ron H. Mitchell, who's a piece of shit. Douglas Layshock. Robert Lee Hess at hushblackwell.com. Is the filer's responsibility for noticing the following parties by means by other means. Newton County White Nationalist Socialist Libertarian Party. The Church of Jesus Christ Christian Area Nation of Missouri. Pastor Martin Luther. And they forgot Dushinsky Linstead. So let me see. Let me check something here. The 16th. I really have about 10 days. And I got another letter. I got another letter from this here lawyer. Okay, 7, 8, 9. Oh, heck, I could have until the 28th of March. Am I going to take that long? I don't know. Every time I wait till the last minute, I swear I'm never going to do that again. And then guess what? I do it again. And we end up having a rather undignified rush. I'd like to go ahead and get done on Friday. File that, the Brian Rio lawsuit. And essentially get the Obongo lawsuit taken care of. One trip to Springfield. Get there. Let Roxy have a nice feast here. She sort of likes eating, you know, she likes eating a nice grilled rat or a dog at a Chinese restaurant. Folks, she used to have a whole bunch of, Springfield used to know because they had a whole bunch of gooks come in. Folks, they were known for cashew chicken, especially when in Springfield. I don't know why about Springfield. Usually, most of the gooks, they come to Fort Leonard Wood, which is in Pulaski County, and then, you know, then the bitch who marries this stupid supply sergeant, sort of like Trader Glenn Miller, goes ahead and divorces the bastard after she brings her entire dog-eating family over to this country, and then she opens up a massage parlor. So the cashew chicken is usually for the chicks or something like that. But for some reason, Springfield was known for all these chicks opening up Chinese restaurants and serving cashew chicken. And I don't know what the heck it is here. I mean, it was known in Springfield, Missouri, of all places. So she likes going ahead and, you know, I don't know what it is here about Chinese restaurant serving cashew chicken in Springfield, Missouri. That is pretty well what Springfield is known for. Now, actually, it's the biggest city outside of Fayetteville, of course, which is the University of Arkansas, but, you know, Springfield, see, I live on the Ozarks, which is really Christian Identity Central. You have far more underground churches. And you have all these people who want to be something around Elier. Folks, I didn't even know there was an Eastern until there was an Eastern supposed Christian Dane church until somebody set me in with Jeremy, with Jay Faber. And then I heard about Eli James. I'd heard about Eli James before. And Sci-Fi Faber was big friends with Hal Turner. It's sort of amazing that Hal Turner, that I am compared with Hal Turner for no damn good reason. I mean, Hal Turner was Jay Faber's big buddy. And from what I gather, Hal Turner was one of the people who supposedly wanted to kick me out and go ahead and talk to Eli James. And I got to laugh because, folks, how can you actually believe I'm an ADL SPLC plant when I'm the one who gets all my web pages down? Now, you would think that if the ADL SPLC by the way, TJ, this is a church channel right now, not a gaming channel. We're talking about Christian Day religion. Well, I might sit in, but you might find it strange. We've had a number of people show up, and they found this church rather weird. Would you mind if I went ahead and muted you because you're giving me feedback? Okay, well, goodbye. Hail victory. You bet. Okay. Anyway, getting on with it. Where was I? You have all these people who want to be. And by the way, this channel is okay because you will have gamers show up, and usually if they're polite, they will. You go and explain that you're running a church. You're running a church show. You're running a church channel, not a gaming channel. This is not time to play World of Warcraft right now. I don't mind them playing whatever they're playing. World of Warcraft or whatever, Halo or whatever the hell else they play. I don't mind that when I'm not trying to use this channel. But this channel is designed to be used, well, by myself and by you folks for the live section of the Movement Turd. Anyway. Well, I never played World of Warcraft. I used to play Dungeons and Dragons, but that was way back in college time, better than 30 years ago. I used to love playing Advanced Squad Leader. I used to play, it was a counter board game. And for a while I was kicked, I was playing Baldur's Gate here, but not on the internet. It's somewhat fun. I mean, it's, and I do play Mafia Wars every so often, but not very much anymore. But getting on to it. They don't take down people's websites. Most of these people, if you explain to them is that you're the owner of the channel and you're using it for something other than gaming, by all means, come back when nobody is using it, no problem. They usually understand. Last week we had a Whigger who found our belief rather foolish. He called himself Eagle, and he was a Whigger. He claimed to be a Whigger. He was blonde, blue-eyed, who wanted to marry his nigger girlfriend. And luckily, Whigger problem went ahead and saved the saved the files, which I hadn't saved here, and they're still there, and I will get them up and put them up as well. So the first thing to do is tomorrow go ahead and probably we'll stay home and eat them patio steaks that Roxy bought, and pretty well have a fine time like married couples do. And then Tuesday, start writing. Wednesday, start writing. Proofread Thursday on both lawsuits. And then head out Friday and file them. Although I have till Monday. And what I want to do is have on the federal judge. See, what he did is he concealed. He put the under seal this court case. Now, I'm not forbidden from my gear revealing it, but the problem of it is that you can't get it on Pacer. You can't go ahead and get it on Pacer, and that's the first thing he's done. The second thing he did is he went ahead and he concealed or he saved, a really fine time. I'll let married men know that essentially when you end up being married to a woman for a long time, I guess a fairly fine time here is sort of like the way it was when you first got together. You know what I mean? Anyway. But in any case, what to say here? Where was I? Think of the delights of tomorrow. Let's see, where was I? Yeah, I better get my mind off of that. On to something else. By the way, Obagender Bender, Obagender Bender over on Pisser's, over on Obagender Bender Pisser Poofter, you know, Possum, you know, of two and a half Mamsers, had wanted me to do a Walker Texas Ranger parody. I did a Walker Texas, you know, Ranger parody. Essentially, I was talking about the poker of Pastor Lindstedt. Essentially, I meant a red hot, you know, iron poker. But you would think that old Sword Mancer was just astrowing in anticipation as to what he thought it meant. Which goes to show you can never please a Mamser faggot at all, unless I guess you're another Mamser faggot, like Obagender Bender and Brian Rio are. They did not like my ridicule of them, and I actually used pretty much almost verbatim Obagender Bender's suggestion concerning the eyes of Pope Marty. And, folks, I think I'll go ahead and play that in one of the sections. During the last couple of Moomin Turds, I've come up with a new song or two. I think I overused the super, you know, super thickin' or super dickin', parody song. I went ahead and found out this one about I'm so sorry, what the heck was it? I don't know if the woman was Jewish or not, but it was sort of a funny song. I went ahead and used that. And folks, I'll go ahead and probably try to get this, you know, this particular one up by Tuesday or so, and get these other shows I've done up and at them. Okay? So, anyway. Well, we have a number of folks show up. Anyway, let me see. Well, the thing about it is that young people sort of believe that married life is just consists of one thing, and it usually consists of far more than just that one thing. Of course, during the first year, you know, 6 months or a year, why, that is pretty well what it mainly consists of. But then, I mean, you get a little bit older, and I've said that when you're 17 years old, you don't think the four wives are enough. And by the time you reach 50 years old, you sort of think that one wife is close to half a wife too many. And, no, I really do love Roxy. I mean, she stuck by me. She's loyal. We love each other. And, essentially, we pretty well stick around the house. And, you know, she talks to her friends and I talk to my friends. And I do what I need to do in order to pursue my form of ministry. And this particular show is my main ministry show. Possibly I should go ahead and have yet another show, which will be devoted not to movement gossip, not to be a combination of Jerry Springer and 60 Minutes, but to be an actual sit down and go through Bertrand Comparé, go through Willie Martin, go through a number of things that are pretty well understood in an actual religious program. But today I try to mix to where, well, these idiots have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And folks, your best bet, if you want to learn about dual seed line Christian Day, the best bet is to start out with reading the Bertrand Comparé material on Israel Elect, and folks, there's a suspect source now that I know that Jurel Mosley got his little monkey paws on it. It's somewhat of a suspect site now, because I don't trust what Jurel Mosley is going to do to it. But folks, save your Bertrand Comparé sermons and then look at them. And then, if you get into it, go ahead and look at the Willie Martin material. But folks, Willie Martin had a number of errors, as well as a number of beliefs. The reason we have this problem with Emma Heiser isn't so much that Emma Heiser is senile, but Emma Heiser does not like Bertrand Comparé. He doesn't like Bertrand Comparé because Bertrand Comparé will always foreshadow him. And he doesn't like that. So he brought in a Jersey City Jew boy like Fink, and Fink has no understanding and no love at all other than just the 315 enmity against Bertrand Comparé. In the case of Eli James, he wants to change Bertrand Comparé to come up with what he came up with. He wants to introduce a bit of papist preterism and a bit of Judaism. So, let me go ahead and make a little bit of a break, and I'm going to go on with what else is going on in the bowel movement, real quick. Okay. Someone said he wanted to get married real quick here. Okay. Okay. Well, all right. I'm looking. Looking for. Let's go ahead and start a new web page. Someone got muted. Oh, well. Well, I do like. Niggers are having fun. More than niggers going out. Hey, INTJ, could you go ahead and ban this stupid nigger for me? Okay. It says tell the lie client needed ban power. Go ahead and ban the nigger. See if you can't ban him. Oh, it's coming from this nigger who keeps on showing up. Okay. for being a nigger. Probably his old Nico faggot or something like that. It might be one of the Mamsers. Folks, we had a nigger who was playing his niggerized version of Sweet Home Alabama. What I liked about Sweet Home Alabama is it was a Peckerwood song. Niggers usually didn't much care for it, but niggers take something. Well, now that it's Brian Real. In any case, I think it was just some nigger who showed up. But it might have been somebody else here. Okay, folks, I'm going to get on to what's going on in the rest of the bowel movement. And right now you have old Hunter Wallace. He showed back up talking about the problem with white nationalism. And you have a response to this Boris C. and the rest of these Uyghurs. And these Jews and the rest. And you have this character like John McNeil. Let me go ahead and go to this post. Where am I at? Show. And what you have is you have these Uyghurs, including Kuntair Wallace. And Kuntair talks like he's an expert in white nationalism when actually he's just somebody who is playing a game. And eighth grade. Well, shoot, you'd be what? You'd be 10th grade now? Massachusetts 1488? Oh, okay. If I'd recommend, go ahead and go to Israel Elect and download the Bertrand Compere files before Jew Ralph changes them. Okay? If you want to learn about Christian identity. Where am I at? You will have these Uyghurs and these Jews and the rest. Like this Jack McNeil says, I don't think it's going to happen. Any attempt at dividing America will probably lead or be the result of violence, and that is something I do not want. So what then? Do I throw up my arms up in the air, accept extinction? Well, answer, he says, no. But the answer is, if you're not willing to fight to survive, you are going to go ahead and become extinct. You see, the Jews are evil. They're the spawn of Satan. These Mamsers are evil. I mean, I knew Mamsers were evil even before I met Brian Real. They hate us. They are trying to destroy us. They're pretending to be part of us in order to get in, and then they seek to destroy us. They seek to censor us. They seek to silence us. And I'm looking at these idiots talking about the problem with white nationalism. The problem with white nationalism is that it's run by white nationalists. Or it's run by Uyghurs, pretend to be white nationalists. And the rest of the Jews and the rest of the Uyghurs, they want to pretend that there's something that they're not. And as a result, what they do is they make a total mess of it. Now, old Hunter Wallace, I guess he found him a girlfriend, and maybe the goona wore off here, and he had to have some excuse to come and show back up here. But you have old Hunter Wallace showing up, he's not here, but folks, I would go ahead and save as much as you can of it that you want. Before they try to change it. They'll say they don't change it, but folks, I mean, I've noticed with Emhizer, every time he commented on Bertrand Compere, he would add little notes, essentially, snidely, saying that Compere was wrong, that Compere was full of shit, that Compere didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And folks, I don't really want Compere changed at all, okay? So, as MP3s, why don't you go ahead and look at putting it on the chat room? Okay? I'm pretty sure you probably won't find them on... there's a bunch of Pierce, you know, broadcasts, okay? And I don't really have a problem with Pierce, but I do have a problem with Creators and the rest of the people that Pierce brought, you know, brought in or tried to cater to. Let's see, I'm going to go to where you have old Hunter Wallace coming back. Now, does Hunter Wallace want to admit to being a racist? Answer, no. Does he want to, you know, he goes ahead and he comes up with all these answers to idiocy posted by a Jew. He hadn't been on this blog. This blog had been down for 2 weeks. He said, note, while I'm no longer involved in the white nationalist movement, I remain an expert on the subject. No, Fade, you remain an expert in your own delusions. Yeah, folks, I mean, what I would do is I would go ahead and save as much of this stuff as you possibly can. Folks, we're talking about Willie Martin. I pretty well covered, I think, pretty much about Willie Martin. John Knight. Right now, covering what I need to do for this coming week. This morning I uploaded 61.5, the movement turd, talking about how the Japanese were betrayed by their elites, just like we're being betrayed by ours. Right now, the biggest thing, and this is pretty appropriate, is that this war started on Purim Fest, just like the Gulf War started on Purim Fest under George Bush. Started on Purim Fest. Well, guess what? This particular war, this particular killing of Libyans also started on Purim Fest. People say, what is Purim Fest? Well, folks, if you're someone like Frank and Wigger or me, it's the one day why you should stay home. Because Purim Fest comes from when the Esterhazys, who allegedly screwed poor old Xerxes' brains, you know, out of his pee hole, got him to kill, Haman? Haman the Amalekite or the Agagite. He was an Amalekite. On behalf of these Jews. And they won a victory over the Persians on Purim Fest. So folks, if you're a white male, not a blonde, blue-eyed little, you know, white boy or white girl or something like that, who they wanted to slit your throat for Passover matzos, on Purim, what they seek to do is they seek to kill a healthy Christian male and slit his throat for their Purim, you know, for their Purim Fest. See, Purim altogether boils from these Jews pretty well taking over the Zog Babylon of their day, ancient Persia, and leading it astray under Xerxes. You see, Darius got involved. Darius the Great, who was the cousin of Cambyses. You see, you had the Persians, you had the Medes. And the Medes were supposedly a Shemitic bunch here. The Persians, well, we're not talking about the Persians like, Medes Jadani or whatever the hell his name is, you know, these brown people. You were talking, you know, and these Persians, in many cases, like the Elamites, these Elamites were conquered by Nimrod and forced to miscegenate with Dravidian niggers. And that's what you have in Iran now. That's what you have in India now. The Aryans miscegenated into these Dravidians and became a bunch of niggers, even though they had a bunch of caste laws. Varna, the color line. To supposedly protect against it, you had a bunch of mamzerization. a bunch of Manzerization. Well, now you have it in Persia, but originally it was known as Iran, which was short for Aryan. And some Aryans, 4,000 years ago, headed out in their wagon trains with their war gods and their thunder gods and their sun gods. They're equivalent to Woden and Thor and Zeus and Mars and Mercury. And they conquered these Dravidian niggers, and these Dravidian niggers changed their religion as surely as they changed their bloodline, even though they set up a caste system. But somewhere around, somewhere around 560 BC, Cambyses II gave birth to Cyrus, made him a little shepherd boy, and Cyrus came back and became king of the Persians. They reduced the Medes from leading status to vassalage status. And then they conquered Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar's grandson Belteshazzar. Okay. Later on, Cyrus had a son called Cambyses II who, like they said, was born to be a king. He was born into the purple. He conquered Egypt and he was assassinated in a palace plot. And his kinsman Darius the Great became king, and his son was Xerxes. And supposedly Xerxes was the one who was invaded by the Esterhazy. And folks, the book of Esther does not really belong in the Bible. It's just a lie that's promulgated. But they pulled a fast one with Xerxes' willing acceptance to where these Jews murdered a whole bunch of people who got tired of Jew shit under the Zog of their day, under the Persian Empire. So when they celebrate Pearl Fest, they celebrate having a license to kill white men, especially white Christian men. And that's the founding of Pearl Fest. And just as they love killing anybody, any man that's not a Jew, that's why they wage these wars under Zog, Babylon, like they waged the Iraq War on the very first day of Purim Fest, and just like they started the war with Libya on Purim Fest, or on the eve of Purim Fest. Jews love Purim Fest. That's their nature to do so. So, let me see. I'm looking at this here. Okay. By the way, this morning I had essentially said the audio files were gone or disappeared, but that was on my Toshiba One, INTJ. Was the server down, or did you hear any problem from the owner of the server or anything like that? The Nimbusters, they were running wild about it, and I was wondering what the heck was going on. So, if you have an answer, I'd appreciate it. But, okay. No need to mention the server. But, what happens is that, okay, if you're able to download it, that's fine. I come up with a number of new songs, and I'm glad to see that the server is up or something like that. I had problems with the Toshiba number one. I didn't check the Toshiba number two, and I'll admit I was a little bit discouraged this morning. So I stayed up to listen to Eliar James, and then I stayed up to argue with Eliar James's nitwits. I didn't get to bed till 2:30. So, what to say? I could probably go ahead and end the chat, but folks, we had what's in the news is another war against brown people that we shouldn't be at war with, that we should stick our nose out of one way or the other, another little war with Muslims started like the first war with Muslims that we have lost on Purim Fest. Purim Fest, Purim Fest, what was it, March 21st or something like that, 23rd, it was on Purim Fest in 2003, and we started another war, another act of war, against the Libyans, also on Purim Fest, here in 2011. Okay. I don't mind putting my sermons on iTunes Library. I mean, if you're able to go ahead and do that, that's fine with me. In any case, where was I? Another war against Muslims on Purim Fest. Folks, it goes to show who is in the catbird seat, who's in the driver's seat, why we are doing what we do. And the answer we do what we do is because the Jews tell Zogling, Shabbos wiggers, and ass clowns what to do. There was no reason for any war with Libya, just as there was no reason for a war with Iraq. George Bush wanted a war with Iraq. I was looking at 60 Minutes last week. Couldn't look at 60 Minutes this week because we have Nigger Ball. A spider on me. Get off. Get off. Well, thank God he's brown recluse, but it's just a spider. I don't like them crawling on me. Folks, we have Nigger Ball, so no 60 Minutes for me to look at tonight. But, Where was that? We have Nigger Ball, so no 60 Minutes, but last week, what were they showing? They were showing about how this lying piece of shit Iraqi allegedly started the war in Iraq. Well, folks, this lying piece of shit didn't start this war with Iraq. George Bush wanted the war with Iraq. Everybody knew when he got elected or selected that was what he would do, is he would start a war with Iraq because supposedly Saddam Hussein wanted to kill his daddy. Well, folks, everybody wanted to kill George Bush's worthless piece of shit daddy. And what happens, dummy is an even bigger piece of shit than George Bush the first. There was a parody in The Onion in 2001 to where Bill Clinton, you have George Bush take over from Bill Clinton, and he says, "Our long national nightmare of peace and prosperity will soon be over now that I'm president." Well, that's exactly what happened under Bush. And now things are getting even worse under Obongo. So, folks, I don't know if you can hear this or not. I'm trying to go ahead and think of what to say. I think I've pretty well covered it. But here's Hunter Wallace. He shows up. Boom shakalaka laka. Well, I would love to get an amen, hallelujah, and boom shakalaka, Frank and Wigger. Where am I at? We have another war with Iraq. You have in the bowel movement, you have Hunter Wallace, who has been gone for 2 weeks. All I can think of is that poor old Hunter finally got tired of the Guna Guna and decided to go back to pretend to be a white nationalist and write silly articles. But folks, when I read this sort of stuff here, what I see is most of these people, it seems to me they want to die. They're sort of like these Japanese who are old, who are 80-some years old, who survived World War II, and now they have to rebuild after Tsunami, after all this radiation, which didn't need to happen, but which just has happened. It seems to me that they have gotten tired and no longer wish to go ahead and rebuild in their senescence. And that's what you have in the white nationalist movement. You have these people playing at being white nationalists. They're not white nationalists. And when things do not go their way, they decide to bail out and quit. And I've seen these people come and go over the years. People saying, you know, people, this is a two-semi epiphany. Well, I guess it is. Folks, I've seen people come and go. People who never belonged here. People who were infiltrating Jews. People who were infiltrating Whiggers and Manzers. And sooner or later, they get revealed. They get shown out for what they are. And some of them are a lot smarter than others. They don't create a commotion. They don't cause any permanent damage. So as a result, you let them leave. Others, like Brian Rio, others like Finkelstein, others like Eli James, they will not be dislodged easily. You know, the only thing that's going to dislodge them is when all the little wiggers figure out I don't look good by being associated with these creeps. And that's what you end up having this bowel movement. For all pack purposes, I was wondering what I was going to talk about tonight, and it's a good thing that, you know, I had the Willie Martin show, to where John Knight knew Willie Martin. Eli James didn't really know Eli Martin at all. Or, you know, not Eli Martin. Eli James didn't know Willie Martin at all. He wanted to wrap himself around Willie Martin because Willie Martin's dead. Willie Martin can't say, like I made Willie Martin say to Yair Davidi, screw you, kike. So, Willie Martin's perfectly safe to have on or talk about. Well, they're going to do four episodes on Willie Martin. I don't see why. Willie Martin was a nice man. He was a gentleman. But he did give me something to go ahead and talk to about at length, about old things which are going on in the bowel movement. What's going on in the bowel movement today? Well, Fade the Butcher decided to come back, dragging his tail behind him and reopening up his forum or his blog. If he goes ahead and his dick gets hard and he finds some pussy or something else to do, or has a psychiatric breakdown, he'll close his blog and that'll be the end of it. Meanwhile, you have Sword Manzer sort of laying low, although he has some frantic activity over at Nimbusters. The Nimbusters are out being Nimbusters. Finkelshini, but what does he have to do? Answer, really nothing. Kevin Harpham, he's still in jail, thanks to wanting to play Mad Bomber, or pretend to be Mad Bomber. So guess what? The FBI made a bomb, and now they have him cuffed and stuff, probably in the Spokane cell. The Wigger Whimper, he's 1 week closer to maybe having a trial at the end of August, maybe not. And I hope Edgar Steele gets out. Folks, it'd be nice if you went ahead and prayed for poor Edgar Steele. Prayer doesn't hurt anything. Prayer might actually help anything. And Edgar has, within his limited ability, done the best he can for white nationalism. So, pray for Edgar Steele. I'm not going to say pray for Mr. Harpham, because Mr. Harpham should have known better than to associate with traitors like Traitor Glenn Miller and Alex Flinder. And essentially, some people will never learn until they have a lot of persecution as a result of being put in jail, not because they did something, but because they want to pretend that they did something or might do something. Folks, if you're going to be a Whigger, just stick to wearing baggy pants and your baseball cap on backwards or to the side or whatever. Don't pretend to be a white nationalist. Don't talk stupid crap. Don't get in trouble. I mean, it's so easier and cheaper just to wear baggy pants and wear your baseball cap backwards or to the side or every place other than the way it was meant to be worn. I mean, it's sort of safe to act like a total Whigger, because then people think you're a Whigger and they think you're harmless and they think you're a clown and they think you're safe to be around and they think you're politically correct. Okay? So, that's why they called it Linstead. On the Sword Mantra Show. Well, I may go ahead and play the Sword Mantra Show later on. Okay. Sister Possums. We're talking over Jeremy Visser. You had to be there for a while here on the Sword Mantra Show. Anyway, let me see. Tusami. I'm looking at the chat, folks. Tusami Epiphany. I doubt it all. Okay, folks. Oh, I'm getting tired. I don't know. I think it's about time to end the chat. So, if I think of something to say, and I'm not going to put the show on tonight, I've had, 2.5 hours of sleep, 2 hours of sleep, maybe, in the last 36 hours. So I think it's probably about time that I call it quits and say tonight, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
The Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gospel. White mango, we vote ho. On the 50 roots, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love is great. Aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need. Aye, aye, oh, white men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Aye, aye, oh, ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Aye, aye, oh, ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.